Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Kurt Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
The intro is just getting absurd now. It's like a caricature of itself. Welcome, everybody.
Reed and Kevin show.
That's right. The Net Live. 28th of February. Welcome, everyone, here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Appreciate you being here. Kevin Barnett, along with Chris Geeter McGee to my left, and straight across from me, DJ Roche. We also have on the line with us today, executive producer Brandon Rosenthal, manning the phones. Anyone who calls in has to speak with him. Brandon, are you there? Are you ready?
I'm here.
Hey, Brandon.
Ready to rock.
Brandon, the last time you were manning the phones, you took it real hard. We had a crank caller from Sacramento. Let's try to get over that and move on and have a good show.
It won't happen again if Sactown calls. I'm ready this time.
Anyone from Sactown, no way they're getting on the show.
Pretty much. Sactown's got like a one-show penalty box. You're out.
Well, we had a little note from Reed. Reed is doing the first week of a home-and-home series with Poland, with a Polish team. Iskra, I think, is the name of it. They're playing down there, so he is unable to join us. But it's an interesting thing about the way that Champions League works over there. So it used to be on aggregate. You would play home and away against a team, and it would be on aggregate. So if I beat you 3-0 at your house, Geeter, you would come to our place, and if I won one set, it was over. And the CEV didn't like that, FFEB didn't like that, that was just ending that way. So now they've gone to a format where you have to win both matches. If you split the matches 1-1, there is one golden set to 15, which is interesting.
Thanks for coming into the new millennium. I mean, why would we ever play with the aggregate? They finally realized that wasn't a good way to do it.
It's a soccer way. It's Champions League. A soccer-type deal.
Great.
So Reed's out of the show. He's working hard in Poland along
with
Lloyd
Ball. Is this team in a panic situation?
They're practicing
a lot.
Do
you feel that? You feel that when you get these emails?
Well, I've seen posts from him and Loy on Facebook, and Loy is like, all right, we're going to practice again, and we're back at another practice again. Here's Saturday practice twice, and I think their team is wigging a little bit. It just has that feel to it, and they're not afraid over there to step on the panic button for no good reason.
A lot like Laker fans here in Southern California.
Yeah, lose the Clippers a couple times, yeah, get it really panic. Upset. You were working the Lakers.
I did.
One of seven talent on.
Yeah, it was weird. The Lakers were on FS West, and I was part of that broadcast team. I was covering the Clippers sideline, and then the Clippers were on Prime Ticket. So two stations
I just kept
doing the game that are related to each other. So Dane was there. Dane working the Clippers sideline. We sat next to each other. It was great. He's been listening to the show, and I believe he's coming on next Monday. So
I was flipping back and forth between you and Dane trying to decide who I like better.
And?
I'll keep it to myself. Dane's a Clipper guy. What can I do?
You have so much hair gel in today. It's amazing.
It's not gel. It's paste.
Paste. Dane got in more. Clipper show. Clipper guy gets in more.
Yeah. How many times did you get in?
Not much, man. I was in the pregame show once and in-game twice. That's probably the least you can get in there. So wasn't a big day, but I got paid.
Yeah. They don't do your check based on how many times you get in.
No, they do not. I'm covering the Lakers on Friday, so I get to do both sidelines. So you get in usually four or five times then.
You know, volleyball people do in sideline at basketball. Heather Cox had the game on Friday night, out in the garage doing a little work, and Heather Cox, big time.
Heather does a lot. I mean, you watch her during college football bowl season. She's NBA. She hosts the draft. I mean, Heather is...
She interviewed the commissioner.
Heather's great. She is one of those sideline reporters that I think adds value. She asks great questions. Very, very good at what she does. I watched her personally at the Beijing Olympics, and I really thought she was outstanding.
So what's this about this test last week? We had Vegas last week. Reed, you were
barely
on the show.
Reed and I gave you a test.
You came and ran into
the show. Can you guys handle a junior situation without me holding your hand? And you did a good job. You passed. You looked like you were in tears.
I almost
cried the whole time. Your kids are running amok.
That's
but
accurate.
I do think you handled yourself quite well. I don't know what the schedule. I didn't know what the schedule was going to be. You know, we lose our morning match on Saturday. We were almost out of the tournament. Now we turned it around. We got it going. We won our next five matches. Next thing you know, we're in the semifinals. The quarterfinals at 10 a.m. Starts at 10:15. We go three. We win 15-13 in the third. So I miss half the show. I run back to the show. I'm on. Next thing you know, we're up in the semifinals, and I got to bail again. You guys handled yourself. Like I said, there were some moments where I didn't think you were going to make it. I know you in the junior situation, your body language, you like to slump. You don't know anything about it. You're not in touch with it. It scares you. You have sons. You don't have daughters. So
right.
You're
There's
nervous in that situation. I thought you did a good job.
Too many princess hats.
You know, I thought you did a good job, and we're proud of you. This is a little task going your way. Good job.
Thanks, Papa Geeter.
No problem.
Papa Geek Crest. Appreciate it. Can I have a cookie?
Absolutely. Only two.
Hey, on today's show, another good one coming. Mick Haley, head coach of the USC Women, coming on. We're going to have him on, talk a little bit about his program. As always, we get these updates from the coaches when they're on, but we want him to talk about the Hugh McCutchen situation. Mick Haley coached the women's national team
in 2000.
Through 2000, had a deal with SC starting in 1998.
Yep.
Dealt with a very similar situation to what Hugh McCutchen is facing now. Wanted to get his thoughts on how that's being managed, what the issues are, what is there to sort out.
And you have to remember, when Mick coached the women's national team in 2000, the Olympics were in Sydney. They were later in the year.
Absolutely.
They didn't get done until, you know, October, and that's when he joined SC and was just kind of there, but not really coaching. Jared Elliott was the head coach. Paula Weisshoff was the assistant. Mick was full-time head coach 2001. So he knows what it's like. He knows that situation. It'd be great to get his take.
Also going to have John Cook, head coach of Nebraska, going to come on. He's hired a couple of new assistants recently. Going to be interesting to hear about not making the Final Four this year after high expectations and what he's going to do going forward.
And no Husker fans yet in the chat room.
Shocking.
Shocking. Where's Husker Nation?
He's always here.
Have you noticed Eric Sullivan has not really called the show weekly like he used to now that he's at Texas?
Got a text from him calling in an hour.
Oh, interesting. Did you notice he had a new number?
Yeah, 512.
Did you already have that number?
No, now I do.
Okay.
Back in touch.
Because I tried to call him this morning.
On his old 402.
And I got the disconnected.
Yeah.
I texted Jarrett, got the doesn't want you to have it card.
I love when people
I could care less if Sullivan never calls the show. Yeah, I'm going to tell you that right now.
You just don't like being
big. I took
big
that personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A note from last week's show, Bill Kaufman sent us a note. We had the question, has there been a coach that's won gold medals with both national teams, two or men's and women's national teams? The answer is yes. Jose Roberto Guimarães, Zé Roberto from Brazil. He led the Brazilian men's team to gold medal in 92 in Barcelona, and he matched that success by leading the Brazilian women to the gold medal, Beijing.
Golf clap
Thank
for
you.
Bill Kaufman.
Thank you, Bill Kaufman.
Proud of that guy. Nice
USA
work.
Volleyball.
He's on it.
He sent it to us during last week's show, but I was not checking email. Thoughts on the last couple of weeks, guys? We've had some interesting guests. Misty May, trainer, of course, on. Hugh McCutchen, the discussion we've had around him. We haven't had him on yet, but there's been a lot of discussion of him. Matt Furbringer, Casey Patterson, and the Juniors Mania that was Las Vegas last week. Reactions to any of that stuff.
Let's start with Misty. She was fantastic, and I've gotten a lot of feedback, people who have downloaded the show and listen to Misty. 40 minutes of Misty May Trainer Unplugged is pretty awesome. I thought she was candid. I thought she was honest. What I found most interesting, Jeremy, is that she said, I'm not retired. I've never said that. I don't know where people got that idea. I find it funny. She also said, I will play if there are local events.
And that made me feel warm and fuzzy.
That did.
Just in case anybody's wondering.
Does that mean come 2012 she'll make a late run for the Olympics? I think not. I think she's done internationally. I think there is no more AVP tour, so until she knows which tours are actually alive and existing and thriving, I think she'll join. I mean, I think she'll be fine. I think she'll go to NBL. I think she'll go to Corona Wide Open. I think she'll do USAV. I if they're here and she can do it and it doesn't conflict with her camps and whether she's with her husband or not, I see her playing. I
if
really
it's
do.
Convenient. If it's convenient. When I talked to her in KC, she said that she's done training on a full-time basis. Other things she wants to do, she wants to start a family, she wants to be around Matt. Of course, the life of a baseball player is nomadic, so she has to follow that, and it's what she wants to do, and good for her. good for her. And I really did enjoy her candor. I mentioned it several times, but her willingness to be open about the process. And if you're a Misty May fan, a casual Misty May fan, and you have this image of her, this icon, right? Yeah. Misty, Carrie, Olympians, all the incredible things that go along with that, really don't realize it's not all rainbows and ponies behind the veil of that success.
No, it's not kittens and candles all the time, guys.
No.
I try to explain that to the kids, too, and their parents. It's not all fluffy and wonderful. It's okay. No,
some of it
sucks. It's okay to have hell once in a while.
Some of it sucks.
It's okay to dance with the devil. It's fine. I got a text from Eric Sullivan.
Oh, there you go. He's
I'm calling 1 hour. Does that work? Not sure how to read that. Does that work?
It's a little condescending. Who's attacking you? I want to see you two butt heads. Cage match. Maybe you're the undercard.
I will say one thing.
Sullivan, Geeter, undercard to Cook, McLaughlin.
The best I ever set in my career, 1995 Columbia, Pacific Ocean Games. Sullivan was a big reason why I was good. I will give him that credit. I never had to move.
He's just chopping the line.
Fantastic, fantastic setter when I didn't have to move. Ball on top of my head, great.
So he's passing perfect, and then he was doing his little choppy down the line.
Choppy,
he
loves that show angle, chop down line, loves it.
Cross body. Matt Furbringer, Casey Patterson last week. I thought they were great.
I will talk about Furbringer because I was there for part of that one. Matt Furbringer, and I tell this to a lot of people, and I don't just say volleyball player. He's one of my favorite athletes overall to interview. I've interviewed him many times back on the Dig Show days, stuff like that. I think he's smart. I think he's well thought out. I think he's honest. Really, really intelligent guy. I love interviewing Matt, and he brings a lot to the table, man. And he's been around for a long time, and Jeremy knows this from experience. He really cares about the sport. He cares about people, and people always say he's one of the nice guys out there, maybe to a fault. A lot like Pau Gasol, people say, is he tough enough? Matt is definitely competitive. Matt definitely wants to win. He's definitely tough enough. He's just a good guy.
I think Matt is one of those guys that's done it at a high level in a lot of different places. On the indoor national team, yep, for a little while, played a few caps, got a few caps to his credit, played very well on the beach for a long time. Of course, his teams, Mizuno Long Beach, when he's coaching and being involved with Joy and that MAC center, really a high-level juniors outfit that he's involved with. So I think he's a guy that has valuable opinions and a lot of foresight on what's happening in the sport in a lot of different places. And I enjoy that about Matt. And Matt, he's always struck me as one of these kind of quieter guys, but then you get him going, and he's got great things to say. But maybe it's just because he and I never really connected. Like, Matt was sort of a mature before his time guy, it seemed, at time on the national team, and I was a not mature yet guy. So those two things don't really meet very well.
One thing he said was that, he is in that group that is going overseas to the FIVB. He is the number two team right now, qualification for the Olympics, so he's making a run at London. Wants to come back and hopes there are tournaments, and if it works out for the schedule, will be coming back. He is one that is very involved with the Players Association, trying to get all that on board and everyone on the same page.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit more about the beach. There's a great article in Volleyball Magazine. We're going to discuss that. But I want to mention Casey Patterson first.
Did he say boom?
That's the one thing. We failed with him.
You guys didn't have him say boom?
We didn't get a true...
Every tweet he has says boom.
I want a true boom out of him. He did say boom because he's talked about his boy Cash getting up in the morning, just waking up. First thing he goes, boom! Boom! Coming from the other room.
I love that kid's fire. I love his passion. I think Casey Patterson is a star in the game. I've said it for 2 years, and I believe it. He's won one tournament. I believe he's going to win more. He actually won a lot on the Corona Wide Open Tour last year. But a great character guy, great... passionate guy that's really fun to watch out there. And when you get a chance to see him play, it is not fake. That is real fire. He has practice fire too, which is amazing, and not a lot of people have that. And I don't know if it's warranted, but he'll tell you. He shoots one down the line on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. in a drill. He's yelling boom, and he's landing with fire. He's excited about it.
People on the Strand are hearing it.
Yeah. And it took a long time, I think, for other players to realize that this guy is actually for real.
I think we made fun of him on stage at first.
Like, we did.
What is that guy doing?
Is this guy for real? And then you go, yeah. And this is how this guy rolls. He goes to the bathroom. He's like, boom. He's excited about it. You know what? I love that about the kid.
Visual.
Really?
I didn't need
the bathroom.
Visual.
Sorry.
I'm still there. I'm still stuck in the bathroom. No, his love of the game is something that I think is contagious and easy to hear when you talk to him, is how much he enjoys the game, not only when he's playing, but also when he's coaching and just being involved. And it's great to see that love of something and having it be so pure. And that's why the boom has gone from being something that you might despise or think is silly and manufactured to being something that is absolutely genuine.
And is Nike paying him to use his catchphrase? That's what I want to know. I wanted to ask him that in Vegas, but I forgot.
Yeah.
But I mean, seriously.
And
wow, you guys really
hair.
Did miss me on that show.
He got better hair than Jeremy.
See, he said that three times. It's blonde. It's because his hair is blonde. My hair.
I just
good.
Know it bothers you. Hey, if you want to check out those shows, there were some great interviews, some fun information there. Check them out on iTunes for free, $0. Just search The Net Live inside of iTunes. And email us your reactions, thenetlive@gmail.com.
And read them on the air.
Facebook, throw them on there, and give us a call. If you have something to say about anything that's happened on the show, 347-677-1525, please keep Geeter here.
I said before the show to Jeremy and Kevin, if nobody calls today, I will not come back. So I know for probably 90% of you, there's no way you're picking up that phone. You'd love to never hear me again, and you know who you are. But there might be a small percentage out there that says, let's save the show.
Sullivan's not calling now. He wants you off the show, so he's not going to call.
Okay, Sullivan does not count because he's a friend of the show.
Okay.
Bill Ferguson, if he calls in, does not count because he is a friend of the show. Can't be a college coach. It's got to be a fan out there that listens to our show live, calls in with a take. I just need more callers, or I'm just not coming back.
People, you're not getting fired for 2 minutes on the Net Live. There's no way. So if you're listening at work,
believe
give us a call.
If you don't call, yeah, and if you don't call and I don't come back, you're saving me money. I'm so sick of parking tickets at Barnett's house. It doesn't even matter anymore.
And you don't have to buy breakfast burritos anymore. 347-677-1525. I want to get back to the Hugh McCutchen discussion again. You missed most of it on the last show. It's been ongoing.
Good.
But although it has petered out this week, both on the message boards and within people asking me about it or not asking me about it. And part of the reason is, who cares now? Who cares? It's a huge issue, right? Not to diminish how big it is for the world of volleyball. It's a huge issue for the women's indoor national team, for the college game. But it's going on way too long here. It's kind of like the Carmelo Anthony trade. There was all this talk for a month and a half about he's going to New York or New Jersey and Prokhorov isn't
going to... How tough it was on him.
Right, and you don't know what it's like being me and all this other stuff, right? And finally, he gets traded to the Knicks one day. It just happened. And I thought the reaction was just sort of like, oh, Jesus, finally. It wasn't something like, oh, man, now we can talk about all the possibilities. It was all talked out. Nobody cared anymore because they didn't know if it was going to happen or it wasn't going to happen, and who cares anyway. And I think Hugh McCutchen, that situation, is approaching that. And I don't think that's good for the sport. It might be good for Hugh. It might be good for USA Volleyball and the management. They don't have to deal with it. But it's not good for telling a narrative and weaving a yarn that people might actually be interested in with the sport of volleyball.
Two things. One, Chauncey Billups was a big part of that trade, and nobody talks about it. Number two, why? Why don't we know yet what Hugh is doing? We know he has the Minnesota job. What is taking so long is my question. I can only think of a couple things. One, money. USAV is now countering how to keep him. Or they're trying to find a replacement. I cannot think of anything else why we have not just made this decision and gone on with it. And I think you're right. I think Hugh can care less. I think USAV can care less if we're talking about it or not.
And that's unfortunate.
But I think it has run its course a little bit. I mean, people, it's still in everyone's mind, but it's not the hot topic of the day anymore. I just want to know what he's doing. I'd love to get a female perspective, too. One of the women's national team players.
We'll get them. We'll get one of the women's national team players.
I mean, are they just going, is this a, you know, are we in a lame duck situation? Are we, you know, is this our guy? Is it going to be Karch? You know, who are some other names that are thrown out there? Maybe Paula Weisshoff, you know.
Hey, we threw out that question this week on Facebook and said, should it be Weisshoff? Should it be Karch? Is there another name in there that you would pick out? I mean, who are you hiring, Geeter? Hugh leaves. I think we talked about this last week in the context of would you hire Karch? Well, now the question is, who would you hire?
And we also talked about who would want it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Karch is in the conversation. I think Paul is in the conversation. I think Jim McLaughlin's in the conversation. Maybe John Cook.
Cook might be a good one. I think Weisshoff would be a great choice. But again, you're trying to drag someone away from a college job. Weisshoff just hired at UCI, last year?
But she has spent time with the national team, so you know she is a big part of USA Volleyball.
Absolutely. Jeff Stork was thrown in that list. Lots of non-serious things here. Mike Dodd, Yariv Lerner, Jeremy Roche. I think Geeter was in there too. Danny Kinda, 2 votes.
Could you imagine Danny Kinda?
But Reed Sunahara.
Olympic women, coaching indoor team. Danny would, he'd be suicidal.
Reed Sunahara thrown in as a serious option. Cincinnati.
Done a great job there.
The thing is, you have to get these coaches to leave or get a leave of absence, like Allen Knipe, who has effectively a sabbatical with Long Beach, so he gets his Long Beach job back from Andy Reid when he's done. Would a university do that? But then the national team is hung up in the same situation 2 years from now. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you just hit on a thing. Where would Andy Reid go? I mean, that's a good coach. He's done a great job. Got Long Beach State, top five.
It seems like Andy, through his career, wants to stick with the men's side of the game, which severely limits your options. And we've seen that. That's why Hugh McCutchen moved over to the women's side, to increase his options. And people don't respect it. I think when you have people who coach men, have success, I don't think that really it's taken as this can have implications or success for women's teams. People think they're different. I think there's some differences, but I don't think largely there's a ton of differences when you get to a college level and you get to an international level. I think those differences get smaller than it is at a high school or a junior level, like where you're at, Geeter.
I had another thought. Can I just throw that out there, even though it's a little curveball? Al Skates retires. John Sprague goes to UCLA. Maybe Andy Reid goes to UCI.
Andy Reid back to UCI?
Yeah.
He used to be the UCI coach.
Never know.
Back in the Chris Hartridge
days. Maybe Hugh at that time wants to go to UCLA, take over Al's spot. Who knows? Just kidding. Anyway, when it's all done, Hugh will come on. He'll get his answers.
Here's one of my peeves, too. A couple minutes left. Leaks. Why aren't there leaks?
Well, on Volley Talk, there was that leak. He was apparently leaving U.S. national team.
I don't think it's credible. We need more leaks in the sport when it comes to any of the issues, be it the collapse of the beach or the indoor side coaching changes or stuff going on with the selection process, the NCAA, stuff like that. We need more leaks. People in the media often talk about the leaks in the NBA or the leaks in the NFL, and you'll hear little rumblings. People don't like it. Baloney. Baloney. The NBA loves it. They are not a problem. They are part of the marketing strategy.
The Bynum for Carmelo trade was never serious, from what I'm told, by Lakers. But what it generated in this city,
right,
and around the league for days on ESPN,
right,
remarkable. It's what drives sports. It's what it is. Cam Newton, he says one thing, it's on, and the NFL loves it. Combine yesterday, all people were talking about on the radio when I was driving to work. I mean, it drives the sport.
So you
rumors,
heard it here first.
Leaks.
Yeah. Danielle Scott going to take over as player coach. Hugh McCutchen quit yesterday. It's already done. There you go. There's your
I
third
actually,
statement.
For a split second, I thought, is he for real?
But we need some information. Goodness, the sport of volleyball, please understand that you have to tell a complete, cohesive narrative if people are going to care. No one cares if you hold on to all the information and then just put a footnote at the end of the page at the end of your 3-week discussion or 4-week discussion about who should go where and when. All right? Leak some information out. Tell a story. Keep people interested. Get the trolls on Volley Talk just all riled up. Keep that happening. That helps your sport. Holding on to the information and being secretive does not do anything to promote your sport. It's great that you don't have to deal with it. Fantastic. You know what else you don't have to deal with? You don't have to deal with being big time and having sponsors and media call you. You also don't have to deal with that. That'll be fine. So decide what you want. You know, tell me a story about the sport. Give me a reason to care. Stop giving me reasons not to care.
Fortunately, I agree.
Is it too early for a rant?
No, absolutely not.
Hey, I had an interesting note from Rodney Barber. From London, sent us a thing on Facebook about the ticket prices. Tickets on sale for the Olympic Games coming up 2012 in London.
Do you know Rodney?
I don't.
Okay.
Just sent us his note. Thanks a lot. £450 for double A seats at gold matches. That's $727 a seat.
So there's a few guys. He says, listen to the show. There's a few guys in the UK who listen. What about that guy that called in one time? Got upset with us.
Netball. It was not Rodney. And indoor, $185 for the same equivalent seats at the gold medal matches, which is $299. So much, much cheaper. Why is that? Beach the better event? That's what it says to me. more than twice as expensive. That tells me people want the beach tickets more. They think they can charge more. Smaller arena, I bet.
That's interesting.
Not as many seats. But I think the beach, getting it done in the Olympic Games.
Yeah, the beach, I mean, I wasn't in Sydney, I wasn't in Greece, and I always heard hottest ticket, hottest ticket. Went to Beijing, and I understood. I mean, it was a very popular event. People have a good time, music, you know, they're into it, supporting their countries. It's a big-time event. I mean, Kobe came three times. You had LeBron, six members of the USA men's, you know, national basketball team coming and supporting. And, you know, that I think that
– it's a scene.
It's a scene. It's a great way to put it, son.
It's a scene. So tickets out there. Get your tickets now. Try and book your airfare, too, before the price of oil goes to $200. Couple other notes. Two cities for World League have been announced. World League, the upcoming tournament for the men's side of the game, kicks off each season. Poland versus the United States is going to be held in Chicago. That's going to be an off-the-hook event. If you are in the Midwest anywhere, get to this event because USA Volleyball has been dreaming for years about what it would be like to play Poland in Chicago, which has the largest Polish population outside of Poland itself in the entire world. It's going to be gnarly. It was great with Bulgaria a few years ago. There's a sizable Bulgarian population in the area. You know the Poles are going to turn out. It's going to be sick at the Sears Center in Hoffman Estates. And then Brazil going to play in Tulsa. United States and Brazil are going to play in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That also should be off the hook. Tulsa, a good volleyball community. Chip McCaw, his family from there, Peggy McCaw. Should be a really, really good event. And then Puerto Rico, somewhere. We still don't have the city for that. But the United States in the pool with Poland, Brazil, and Puerto Rico. They actually play in three successive weeks in June coming up. Let me get to the dates here real quick. But that's going to be the pool. It's an interesting pool.
That's a great pool. Do you think any of those matches are streamed? How would someone be able to watch in the States? You know, if you're not in Chicago or Tulsa.
The FIVB has streaming, but you shouldn't be able to access it here. I'm not sure where it's going to get picked up. It's not like Reed's match, which if you want to watch against Skra, it's going to be on, I think it's Tuesday night, on La Ola One TV, which is a great resource for international volleyball. They have a tremendous amount of professional stuff going on there. You'll be able to see Reed, and he said it's going to be crazy. In Poland, 12,000 people sold out, 12,000 to 15,000 people. But the United States, there's a lot of problems with that, and I encounter that with these matches, with Grand Prix in particular, because I'd like to watch a bunch of other Grand Prix events before I do the women's match. If the women are going to play Italy, I want to see Italy play a couple times.
Yeah,
but I can't because it's not streamed here. NBC buys the rights. They own the rights, and then it's restricted. You can't get the FIVB streaming, so I think you're up against that as well. I don't yet have the details for how it's going to be broadcast. Typically, it's been a week and a half later on Versus or ESPN.
NetLive?
The NetLive, yeah, maybe on the NetLive.
NetLive's going to travel.
Saturday.
Not far, but we're going.
Saturday, on location, special show.
We're doing a special show. We'll talk about that after the break.
Also have a good discussion about a Volleyball Magazine article, AVP bankruptcy article by Mike Miyazaga coming up. Loy Ball and Misty May comparison. Had an interesting article about Misty May this past week that had a quote from Loy Ball from a previous year. Did you read that one?
No. Can you tell me what it is?
Yeah, we'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there.
I like that. Teasing. That's called teasing in the broadcast world.
We've got Mick Haley coming up next. Going to tell us about trying to manage the needs of a university with the needs of a coach. We're Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. Glad you're here. Give us a call, 347-677-1525. It's a little bit like Jimmy Swaggart. He didn't get $1 million before Friday. God was going to kill him. If you don't call in, we're getting rid of Geeter. He's out of here.
I noticed no callers yet.
That's right.
My big announcement.
Interesting. Swaggart got $2 million, I think it was, in the week. I should have been a televangelist. The Net Live, right back. Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org. is that, JR?
The Asteroid Galaxy Bounce.
How do you come up with these names?
I like to keep you on your toes.
It's like screaming trees. Like, why? Why? The Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We appreciate you being here. A couple of notes on those World League matches. June 17th and 18th is going to be Poland in Chicago, and then June 24th, 25th, Brazil in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then July 1, 2, Puerto Rico, somewhere in the United States. A couple other quick notes. We had Athletes Promise Pro-Am. We had Ryan Mariano on the show a few weeks ago to talk about that event coming up March 5th. There are now 39 men's teams and 11 women's teams signed up for that. So that event is starting to kind of kick off, and there's a few other things going on down around that time, March 5th, in Huntington Beach. Also, Jane Collymore, due to injury, Jane Collymore has given up her volleyball career, but it's going to allow her to focus on her music career. Those who listened to the show a while back know that she's got some serious, serious music, and she's good. So we wish Jane the best, and we'll have her on the show here again soon to talk about her plans. She'll be down in the San Diego area.
Big announcement for the Net Live. We are traveling and doing a live special show, 5:30 p.m. Pacific time, Saturday night from the Galen Center on the campus of USC. It'll be number one USC Trojans taking on number two, the BYU Cougars men's volleyball. We're going to do a live show before the match. We'll have some great guests. We'll have Billy Ferguson, the head coach, Rob Nielsen. We'll try to get a couple players. Who knows? Maybe Nick will come on. We'll ask him. Maybe Pat Hayden.
Does that mean we have to play this music a lot? All right, we're going to save more of that. I don't need to hear that anymore.
You just don't want to hear it, do you?
Our first guest is here, Gator.
I can't wait. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. He roams the halls at the Galen Center. The head coach for the past 10 years at USC. He has four national championships, two at Texas, two for USC. He's been to the Final Four 10 times. The latest was this past season where he led a young USC team to the Final Four. I'm talking about Mr. Mick Haley, former national team coach from 2000. Mick, welcome to the Net Live.
Thanks, guys. I like the song.
Yeah, Jay Roche did that special for you, Coach. Now, Coach, let's reflect a little bit back on the national semifinals and the Final Four with you and Cal and Penn State and Texas, four heavy hitters in Penn State. Once again, coming on out on top for the fourth consecutive year. Just give us your thoughts on the Final Four now that you're removed a couple of months.
Well, I have several thoughts. First of all, it's amazing that Penn State could win four times in a row. I think that says a lot about what they're trying to do out there, but it also says a lot about Blair Brown, who's been on all four of those teams. You get an exceptional young lady like that and who provides leadership. I heard an interesting story this weekend that once she went to the coin flip and did the coin flip, that she went back to her team in the final match, went back to her team and said, "We got it." They wouldn't even look me in the eye. So
wow.
pretty interesting what goes on behind the scenes sometimes and how kids respond and react and that sort of thing. So that's one observation. The other observation is it's like Indiana high school basketball in a lot of ways. We had Stanford beating us twice during the year and pretty much owned us in both those matches. We couldn't seem to generate anything against those guys. And then we kind of career against them in the regional finals, and that propels us into the Final Four. Once you play your best match, it's pretty difficult to duplicate that. We get into the Final Four, and we had pretty much had our way with Cal during the year, winning twice, and they careered against us. They were really good against us in the finals, semifinals there in the Final Four. And so beating a team three times when you have quite a group of athletes on both sides is a very, very difficult task. Winning the national championship four times is even greater. I guess that would be most of my observations from that.
Now, Mick, of course, you guys have a young team. You'll be right back in the mix next year. Give us the top two or three teams that you see to beat next year.
Well, I think you have to think Cal will be back. They only lose their setter, which is a big loss, but there's a lot of leadership there. When you've got seniors, you can do a lot of things. I don't think Stanford will be as bad as some people seem to think they'll be. I think they'll be in the hunt, certainly from our conference. Washington wants to try to get back. They haven't gotten there since, I think, 2005, and they've been kind of getting knocked off here and there, and I know that's probably eating at their coaching staff a bunch. So those are teams out this way. I think Mary thought she got upset there in the regionals with Florida, so I think she's going to have an awfully good senior coming back to lead them. Texas has a lot of athletes. It'll be interesting to see if they can get back, even though they're really athletic. I think they might have to deal with some passing issues. And, of course, Penn State thinks they're going to be back there every year, so they'll be back. But Illinois is a team to watch, I think. Kevin's doing a very good job. He's got that going. It'll be interesting to see what Minnesota does, losing their big left side. Transferring to UCLA, I've heard, is going to hurt them in the point production a bit, so I don't know about them. And then there are some other teams like Dayton and some teams that are just starting to get on the radar that are working really hard at it, so you don't know. And I think maybe Long Beach State's just a player away from being very good.
Coach, you mentioned a ton of teams in that list, and that's one of the reasons we're so excited about the upcoming season even now. I mean, we're in spring season, and you talk about all the different possibilities and why women's volleyball is really healthy on the NCAA side. And you mentioned Minnesota, and, of course, Hugh McCutchen is going to go to Minnesota at some point, and we want to talk with you. You and I had a chance to chat last week in Vegas about your negotiation process with SC back in 1998, and if you could fill in our listeners just as to how that whole situation evolved and went down back in 1998.
Well, that was a real interesting deal because I had actually called SC to give a recommendation to them about their interim coach that I thought they should keep him. They informed me that they weren't going to do that and that they wanted to try to bring in somebody who was pretty experienced and seasoned. And we had a good talk, and that was the end of it. About 6 weeks, 8 weeks later, I got another call back from Daryl asking me what I would think about taking that position, and I told him at that time I really didn't have any desire to do that. And then another 4 weeks, 5 weeks passed, and they called me back, and at that particular point, I was in a situation where I had been to Australia on a 30-day trip and had called home several times, one time about midnight, one time about 2:30 in the morning, Colorado time, only to find messages on my phone saying, call the hospital here, call the hospital there. My son had been in the hospital for about 44 days out of that year with some issues that they couldn't diagnose, and you just feel so helpless that you're so far away from home and you can't do anything. And at that point, I started to make up my mind saying, I'm not going to do this another quadrennial. I'll finish this quadrennial, but I can't be away this much and not know that my family's okay. So I started thinking about that. When I got back, I got another call back from SC, and they were asking me about somebody else, and then they really weren't serious about that. They were trying to convince me that I should consider it. So I started talking to them about it. One thing led to another, and I said, well, maybe I could do this, but I want to finish the quadrennial. Well, they didn't want me to do that, so we went through that back and forth. Finally, they agreed to letting me finish the quadrennial, and I said, well, then let's don't announce it until the end. And they said, no, we have to announce it because we want to put you in a situation where you can't do well at the Olympics in Sydney and then say, well, I want to do another four-year deal. All of that, and eventually got permission to do all of that. I really didn't want to do that, but that's the only way that we can make this work.
Yeah. So
long and the short of it was we went through that whole thing. It took about 8 months, and they announced it, and then all hell broke loose.
Yeah. You mentioned the leverage of the situation, and I wonder who has the leverage in that situation? Is it you as the coach that they want to have in their program, or is it the university?
No, it's pretty much the university, depending on what they're really after. Because top university jobs are really hard to get. People don't leave much until John Dunning left UOP and Mike Hebert left Illinois and I left Texas. There weren't hardly any coaches exchanging positions and going to other schools. When the three of us made decisions for whatever reason to leave and go to other schools, then things started opening up, plus salaries started shooting up like mad. The fact that you couldn't replace your volleyball coach and maintain the same level, it takes about 6 to 10 years to get back to that level, was pretty amazing. Stanford really was worried. They needed to get somebody that was understanding of the area and their school, and of course Dunning was perfect choice there. Hebert in the Big Ten, Minnesota wanted somebody that could know the Midwest recruiting and continue to build their program, and so they did that, but Illinois couldn't sustain their program. UOP couldn't sustain their program after that, and it's taken Texas about 10 years to get back to the dominance of the later years. So that put a premium on coaches, and everybody started looking at those jobs, and I think they started feeling that they were pretty special. So the universities paid more, but they certainly have more clout now.
Talk about the discussion you had with then-CEO Kerry Klosterman at USA Volleyball, your boss at the time. How did you address the situation both before and after SC made the announcement that you were coming there?
Well, I really expected him to reject that and tell me that I had to make a choice. I went in and told him what they were offering, and he said, "Geez, I wish somebody would offer me that." that's an actual quote. And I said, "Well, what do you think?" And he said, "Well, I think it's okay." He said, "I don't want to lose you in the USA program right now. It looks like we're just starting to make the turn and really go." He said, "Do you plan to stay through the quadrennial?" And I said, "Yeah, that would be my first choice. I said, I don't want to take this job if I can't." And he said, "Well, I'll talk to the board, but I think it'll be all right." And he did. We got approval, and so we went with it. But I never expected the firestorm that I got from that.
Hey, Mick, why do you think it's taking Hugh so long?
Well, I can only speculate. I really haven't talked to him about it. We've talked a bunch, but not about that. And I would probably say he feels obligated to try to finish the quadrennial. He's done an exceptionally good job. He's got a good staff. The kids trust him. They want to have a shot at this. There's a lot of, when you spend that many hours together, you feel obligated and the players feel obligated. I'm sure Minnesota is doing everything they can to try to get him to get there immediately because they feel like they've already lost one player. They don't want to have to rebuild. They thought Mike left them a pretty good basket of kids. I think they'd like to get him in there right away. So who knows? I mean, we just have to speculate that he's probably trying to make everybody feel good and get the situation that works best for him.
Coach, you mentioned the fact you were getting calls about your son and his health while you were overseas. Talk a little bit about the demands of international versus college and how that plays into your family life. We've talked a lot about that with that factoring into Hugh McCutchen's decision to leave the international game.
Well, I think in a lot of cases, when you look at the coaches that have coached our national team, because of finances or whatever, the trips have been anywhere from 12 days to sometimes as much as 24, 26 days when you go overseas. That's a long time to be away from your family. It doesn't seem that long ago, but 10 years ago, you didn't have access to cell phones that you could call back home without costing your arm and a leg. Telephones were a lot. You didn't have Skype. You didn't have all of these things we have now. It's pretty hard for people to understand that when you're raising a 9-year-old and an 11-year-old, you have to be available from time to time, even if it's Skype or something like that. We didn't have any of that back then, and it was very difficult to do that. I felt after 2 years as national team coach, I didn't know what my kids had been doing the last 2 years. I didn't know anything about their school, anything. You get so focused, and we had to be focused on that national team situation because we had no returning players at that time. Only Danny and Tara were thinking about coming back, and they were taking the 2 years and playing in the leagues and trying to relax a little bit. So we were trying to develop and get enough young kids back involved. So we were doing all kinds of development things, which takes twice as long. I watched Hugh and Karch and Paula work this weekend in Colorado, and they just looked worn out. They had 200 kids in the gym, and you know they would like to have gone and worked with the top three, but working with all 200, it just didn't seem to be an immediate need for them. And yet they were putting in their time, just like the other coaches have in the past, and working hard. They just looked tired, and I think that's what national team does. It drains you, but also the challenge to see if you can medal and particularly get the gold, that's always the drive, and it's always special, but you just have to balance things, and you've got family. If you're coaching at the university, you usually go home at night, or if you're gone, you're gone on a two-day recruiting trip, you're still back. You still attend the school functions, you can still go to the games, you can do all of those things, especially if the spouse is really, really helpful and does extra, and it takes that kind of teamwork to be able to balance both of those. I look at Russ, and I think he has 4 or 5 kids. How he's handling that, you know, is very special, I think. And
his wife's the MVP, Mick.
That's the thing you hear at these coaches' banquets all the time is always the spouse gets thanked first.
Without
every coach that comes up on the
a question. You're listening to Mick Haley on the Net Live. Coach, who's on your short list to replace you when he does go to Minnesota?
Well, in this situation, it seems only natural you look at the staff you have because the kids are comfortable with that, maybe. I'm really not that close to it. It's interesting, but when we change staff with the women's team, usually the head coaches are not included. Former head coaches are not included in what's happening, and I'm not sure why that is. Maybe it's just the fact that they move forward and the other people want to establish themselves. But so I'm not sure, but it would seem natural that Karch and Carl and Paula would move into that position, and then any other people that have been close to the program might be brought along in a training mechanism. But continuity for the players is really important, and consistency is really important. So that seems like the natural way to move.
Hey, Coach, you know, we're doing a live show Saturday, 5:30 at the Galen Center, USC men versus BYU. You going to be there, and can we get you on?
I'd sure like to see if I could be there. I think I have some recruiting duties in the morning and the afternoon, but if we can get back up there, I'd be glad to come. That's going to be a great game. I watched BYU and UCLA on TV a month ago, I think, and I thought that's going to be a great matchup. So I think both these matches this weekend should be special.
It'll be fun, Coach. We know you have a recruit in town. We appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us here on the Net Live. Thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hope that helps.
Thanks, Coach. Absolutely.
All right. Mick Haley, USC Women. Interesting about the leverage. I would figure the coach would have a little bit of leverage, but I guess the university with the dollars they're throwing around.
Yeah, it was interesting when he talked about salaries starting to skyrocket in women's volleyball when he was just about getting done with that women's national team. That's when it really became on that mountain going up and people started moving over to the women's game.
I love the quote from Kerry Klosterman. I wish somebody would offer me that money. It sounds like something Kerry would say.
I thought Jay Roche was going to jump in and say, well, how much money do you make, Coach?
Yeah, do I need to get involved in this coaching thing?
And should I start being a volunteer assistant somewhere?
Yes.
Interesting. 6 to 10 years after a coaching change for a team to return the same level.
I would have thought that number would be 4-6.
No question.
You get your own players.
No.
You get your own recruiting class after a couple of years. Of course, in the first 2 years, you probably have some players leaving the program. You're bringing in new players. But I guess it's that culture. It's establishing that culture that takes so long to get back. And that was one of the things in the national team. You hear McHaley say about continuity and consistency. Boy, Reed was still feeling it, and I think is still feeling it, and that team with the departure of Hugh.
Absolutely.
And Allen showing him. No disrespect to Allen and what he's trying to do, but just the fantasticness of the previous culture, and you hate to lose it.
I don't know what Hugh's going to do. I've stated on the show that I would love to see him in London just because, you know, I'm a big Olympics fan. I'm a big national team fan. I'm a huge Hugh fan. Whatever he decides, his choice, and I'll support him. What gets lost in this, and you've hit it a million times, Barney, and Mick kind of talked about it as well, is he has been traveling internationally, 2003. Does have a son now. Mick told that story about calling home and or saying, hey, you got to call home. You know, his son is in the hospital. And I'm sure, you know, when you're traveling and you're locked in a 30-day trip in Australia and doing all this, you know, that can be scary. It can be overwhelming. And I'm sure it runs its course.
Having done it as a player, I know that that's an issue. I went to the Olympics. My oldest son was 2. My youngest son was a few weeks old. 8 of the first 10 weeks of my youngest son's life, I was out of town because he was born. 2 weeks later, went to Houston, came home from there, and went right back to Serbia and then the Olympic Games for 5 weeks.
He's still upset with you.
I know. No connection there at all. It's like, you're not even my dad. Shut up.
You weren't there, man.
That's why when I told him to stop running around the table last week in Vegas, it's nothing. Guys, cool it. Oh, we are. Uh-huh. Sprinting around, crashing into players. 3 blown ACLs right in front of the net live table.
Tell me there is a caller.
Nope.
Online.
Nope.
Nope. Good job, Brandon.
This could be your last show. This is it. 347-677-1525.
Is Brandon just so scared to have someone call in because he's afraid they're going to drop F-bombs? Or does he really...
He's cut off 4 people
from
Sacramento.
Is he cut off 4 people, yeah.
NorCal.
Maybe people... I mean, my wife's from there. Maybe...
If you're outside of NorCal, you might get into the show. Well, hey, we have a couple of discussions here, and I think that we can dovetail them together. There's a great article coming up in the new Volleyball Magazine that, incidentally, we are in. And by we, I mean all of us. Nice full-page spread of the Net Live, and nice JR right across the page with his hottest albums for the upcoming year.
That's right.
All right together there in the middle of the mag. And thanks to Volleyball Mag, we're getting great support from them. Just about to sign a deal with Volleyball Mag to have some cooperation. Not co-opetition. It's pure cooperation.
Yeah. J-Bro's getting a lot of ink out here on the chat room, too.
Like
people
want
to know if his headphones are pink.
They're
comes
not.
From your buddy, the Bulldog.
The cord is
know
pink.
White.
First of all, the
guy
cord.
Said if you were a woman, you'd have a job easily in women's volleyball, but since you're a man, you're going to have to wait. I mean, people are all over you right now.
Let's just talk about my
Gardhoff headphones. Wants you to take over the whole sound system, all the speakers at Galen. I don't think that's possible.
Hey, Gardhoff's bringing us some dolls for Galen. We're going to have our table filled with, like, Todd Rogers, Sean Scott.
Well, yeah, Gardhoff's going to be there, by the way.
Mike Morrison.
You know that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike Morrison, who is now following us on Twitter, which I loved. I hope he's watched the video of himself all muscled out.
Just for you listeners out there asking J-Ro to play the new Willow Smith track, absolutely not going to happen.
No, not going to happen one bit ever. Won't play it. Haven't played it. Don't even have it in my laptop.
New issue, Volleyball Magazine, April 2011. Good article, Up in the Air by Mike Miyazaga, about the AVP collapse, and less about the AVP collapse and more about kind of the future of the AVP and the players involved now, the open territory that we've covered on this show, the NVL, the Corona Wide Open Tour, and the USA Volleyball IMG affair, which I still can't remember what the name of that might be. USAV IMG seems a really long acronym to me. But good article, a lot of information involved, and a couple of interesting things. Dave Williams from USA Volleyball quoted talking about the fact there won't be player contracts. Of course, player contracts with the AVP exclusive contracts was a big sticking point, a huge arguments between the players and the organization, and caused problems with players' participation on the FIVB tour during the AVP season. Williams said, hey, we're just going to have agreements for one tournament at a time. So leaving the players open to choosing when they want to play on their tour, not forcing them into, you have to be here. Which is good for the players. I don't know if it's great for your tournament if you can't guarantee that the top 5 teams or whatever will be there. That was always the reason the AVP wanted. And also talking about discussions with a major television organization, network.
Yeah, cable. someone like Versus, somebody like Spike, MTV, whomever.
Yeah. I think Versus is probably the biggest player in that.
They've had volleyball before. They had the U.S. Open last year for the Corona Wide Open. They had the ABP the previous year, 2009.
The real question with that for me is who's going to pay for that? Because people don't understand that volleyball has not been paid to be on TV for a long, long time. Not since maybe the late 80s, early 90s with NBC. Other than that, it's a time buy. You pay production costs, and it costs a boatload of money to get Geeter there and his truck and all the equipment you need set up by Jay Roche for you.
Batteries for his microphone.
Right. It's like, here, you came in bringing his table this morning. But there's huge costs involved.
I don't set up. It's not a big deal.
Huge costs involved with television, and those have to be picked up by the tour, not by the company. The television company is not picking those up anymore.
It talked about the four players involved in beach volleyball this summer. USAV, yep. IMG, Dave Williams, Corona Wide Open, Steve Lindecki, Karch, Billy Berger, Albert Hanneman, the NVL.
Right.
Talked about who's on board with him.
Got a couple of big-time names, sponsors there.
Big names. And then it talked about Ryan Morgan talking to groups. So there's four kind of players. Three are...
How about the AVP?
Do you count them?
It was also mentioned. I don't really count them, but it got mentioned. Nick Lewin's name is in the article again.
I don't see any AVP tournaments coming. AVP. I haven't even heard of one. I don't see it happening.
Somebody's AVP Facebooking confused me this morning. I don't know who's putting it out, but there's lots of information out there. There are some good possibilities. Albert has some great connections. He's got on his NVL. He's got the chief financial officer, Molly Menard, yep. from the Menard family, run basically what amounts to a Home Depot in the Midwest.
Announce a sponsor.
They just got their first official sponsor, Australian Gold. You can now get a nice tan using their products, Kevin.
Ooh, yeah. No more pasty white for me?
Correct.
Steve Lindecki will be coming on this show in the near future from Corona Wide Open, and they have Corona as a sponsor, and they are having their eight events. USAV right now having four, I believe.
But no...
Hermosa, Manhattan, Huntington, and Belmar.
Still no official prize money. And official sponsors.
Has not been announced yet.
Right. There's all kinds of, yes, we're going to get there. Yes, it's going to happen. But nothing for sure. But Mike Miyazaki in the upcoming issue of Volleyball Magazine, great article all about this stuff here, talking about Ryan Morgan, talking about Paul Mitchell and their relationship with volleyball, longstanding relationship. Good quote at the end of the article. This sport is not broken. It's from the marketing director, Paul
Julie
Mitchell.
Julie Solwald, who's been around for a long, long time, used to run the Four Persons Tour with Paul Mitchell and been a part of the AVP and supporter of beach volleyball for years.
Quote, it's an amazing sport. It won't ever die. Beach volleyball is the quintessential athletic and sexy sport. It sounds good. Nice to hear that from a potential sponsor. What it means in real dollars and for the absolute health of the tour and if it's going to ever return to any sort of real professional level where you have 30, 40 people making a living doing it? I don't know. I'm still pessimistic.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I think there's pessimism, but for me, I'm positive that there will be not just one, not just two, but I think there'll be three options. And as you always say, Barney, to me, it's not going to be what it was. I agree.
It can only be what it's going to be.
Yeah, but it's going to be what it's going to be and hopefully build and maybe one day better. Is someone in the queue finally?
April issue Volleyball Magazine.
Volleyball Magazine.
Fab 50. It's going to be a good one.
My job saved.
Who's this on the cover? Krista Van Zandt.
Krista Van Zandt, who they won the Vegas Invitational. She's going to UW to play for Jimmy Mack and Keno. One of the best high school players out there, without a doubt.
Yeah, interesting article about her recruiting process and how comfortable she felt up there. We do have a caller in the queue. But not really a caller.
My job's not saved.
Cage match, you versus Eric Sullivan.
Oh.
Hello.
Sully.
Howdy, Sully.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Well, good. Sully, I was lighting you up early.
It sounds a little hollow where you are. Do you just not have your pictures up on the wall yet? No memorabilia?
No, they hooked me up here. I got all kinds of stuff going on.
Orange all over.
There's a lot of burnt orange.
I had a lot of problems with you to start the show. One, I was not given your new cell phone number. That bothered me on a couple levels as a friend and as a co-host of the show. The text from Jared that said he doesn't want you to have it stung a little bit. And then that you're just not active anymore on this show. I know it's a new situation. I know you're moving the family. Just going to let you know. It bothers me a little bit. So I let you on, and I, you heard it, and go ahead. Your turn.
Yeah, I hear you. One, the information. That's just that's my bad, Geeter. I'll take it. You can give it to me.
Who got your new number? Top what? 107?
You know, I sent an email out, and I don't have your email. So, and Barnett doesn't either. So there's this kind of group of people in my life that I just connect with via phone and some via email, and you guys are tight, so you're the phone list. And unfortunately, that info hasn't gotten out. But did it go out today? I'm curious.
It's like a Seinfeld episode. Where do we rank? Are we on the email list? Are we on the phone list?
You guys are top 10 for sure. You're on the speed dial.
Sully, a lot of pressure on a Saturday night. We're doing a live show, 5:30, from a men's volleyball game at Galen Center, USC BYU on Saturday. We expect a call-in from a former two-time NCAA champ.
Absolutely. The problem is, I mean, my life right now is just a mad scramble. And so, yeah, I'm just kind of running around trying to get situated here and trying to do a little work to keep Jared happy on the side. And, it's just not that you guys aren't a big priority in my life right now, but it's been tough.
Amanda and the kids before us, I understand.
You've got to strip the red off of Cade and Shay and tell them, listen, burn orange, kids.
Yeah.
This is it. I don't
by
care
the way,
how much like red.
Your former boss, John Cook, coming on in a half an hour.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll tell you what, Barney, my kids, Shay was a little bit upset, but I think she gets it now. She is in. Cade wanted to know if the Wii was coming. once that was settled, he was running around the house yelling hook'em. So,
wow.
Were you able to solve the Super Mario Galaxy level you were working on, or Super Mario?
You know, we're in the process of getting all the super coins or whatever they're called, the gold coins, so we can open up level 9. My 4-year-old is remarkable. We have to draw a mustache on him sometimes so that he can go to preschool as Mario.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And have you seen Jarrett's two sons that are like under 5 years old but over 6'7"?
Yeah, I'm living at the Elliott household right now.
What
so.
Is it like, Park and Mac, and then his daughter, who's probably over 6 feet now?
She is.
At what, age 13? I mean, what goes on in that house? And how? Obviously,
I can't give away the secret. They've obviously mastered the genetic part of things.
Yeah, the brawls must be unbelievable between Mac.
There's some serious feeding going on in there.
Costco.
Yeah. And I'm in the mix now. They're taking care of me, so it's all good.
Now, Dan Connors, is he going to buy your house in Nebraska from you?
You know, that would be a great situation if he's listening. I'll hook him up. It's a good, nice little pad, and it'll all make the transition nice and easy for him. I texted him, but he hadn't got back to me. I don't know if he recognizes the number or not.
Yesterday was his last day at Sports Shack. Terrible for us. Awesome. Awesome for him and Nebraska. I think Dan is a great guy, number one, and he's a great young coach, and it's a good move for him, and it absolutely crushes my club. But I'm happy for Dan, and I'm sure you're happy, because you still have a lot of ties in Nebraska that they got someone like Dan.
Yeah, you know, I think he'll be a great fit for them, and, I don't know that it's the UCLA tie or not. I'm sure Lauren, John's daughter, is comfortable with him because she was out there. And, I think he's a good kid, and, I'm happy for John and Nebraska that they're able to find someone good. So, it'll be a good deal.
Where do you think is going to have the better football games, Texas or Nebraska?
Ooh.
Better atmosphere.
Yeah, I guess it's tough to say because I haven't experienced one here, but I hear it's pretty special here as well. So,
what did you get to in Nebraska in your 3 years because you guys were playing and traveling?
How many did I get to?
Yeah.
That's a great question, Geeter. I maybe watched a quarter where I wasn't working. It's not easy.
That would be
by
a deal
any means.
For me. I'd have to be able
to
go to
the football
game.
That's the reason to change
game.
The seasons for women's
yeah,
volleyball.
Yeah, why be a coach at Nebraska or Texas unless you can go to those football games?
I hear you. And you get to go to some, but a lot of them you're with recruits or you're doing all that stuff too. So,
well, get Kay to ride on Bevo. Get him out there.
I'll have to look into that. Yeah.
Any question you want to hear from John? Any particular question?
I don't want to do your guys' job for you because I think you guys do a good job at it, and I don't have experience there. But if you don't ask about the round of 16 incident, I'll be severely disappointed. I hope he's listening and yelling at me right now.
100% that could be that. We would all be fired. I'm actually leaving the show for good because no one's calling in. All I need is one caller today that it can't be you.
Okay. Yeah, that's I want to hear his response. So I'm curious when Jimmy Mack's going to get on there and give his side of it too.
Yeah, the cage match would have been good. We could have arranged it. Well, thanks, Billy.
Yeah, hey, hopefully I'll be a little more regular for you guys when I get things figured out here.
Appreciate you, kid.
As always, you guys are ruling it.
I guess we're back. Sullivan and I, you know.
Good thing we just moved out. Intervention and lifestyle. Thanks, Sully.
What was funny is he's like, hey, I'm actually kind of busy. I mean, I love the show, but new job, moving, family.
Typical us. We don't care. It's about us. It's about our show. Come on our show. Tell us a story. I don't care how busy you are.
When there's 9 other volleyball talk radio shows, then we're not that big of a deal. But we're the only one right now that I know of.
The Net Live on the VolleyballNetwork.com. We are the only show. We're bringing it to you.
We're tailgating this weekend. Saturday.
College Volleyball Weekly coming up next. All 3 of our correspondents getting ready. Also, John Cook from Nebraska. We're going to arrange the cage match. He and McLaughlin. Who do you have? Cook's a pretty big guy.
McLaughlin. Cook who we have.
Maybe McLaughlin's scrappy. Who knows? Be right back. Hang in there. Live here on the VolleyballNetwork.com. Appreciate you being here. An interesting show so far. Mick Haley came on to talk about the Hugh McCutcheon situation as he dealt with something similar back in 1998 as he transitioned from the women's national team to USC, where he's had a fair bit of success. And Eric Sullivan calling in. All kinds of good discussion going on here. We still have John Cook coming up and College of Volleyball Weekly. We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Zamps, our major sponsor here on the show, Orthosis for Athletes, Zamps. They make all kinds of athletic injury prevention items and injury coping items for your ankles, your knees, your joints, every part of your body. ZAMPS. Check them out at ZAMPS.com. That's ZAMST, Orthosis for Athletes. Good stuff.
Met them.
Yeah, their whole crew.
At the Vegas Classic.
Lori Okumura.
Didn't see Lori, unfortunately, and Lori's a longtime friend, but met some of the other people. Chip McCullough's sister?
Chip McCullough's sister. That's what she's referring to.
Yeah,
no,
that's why. That
is Chip McCullough's sister.
Like, everyone calls me Chip McCullough's sister. And she also when I was heckling her when she was playing at SC, and I was a freshman with Coley Kyman at Northridge.
She had an encounter with Tim Kelly, friend of the show, in Kansas City that did not turn out well. He just kept calling her Chip McCullough's sister and telling her to do things. If you've ever met her, she's not really taking well to being bossed.
Not afraid to throw the right.
No. So good stuff from Sam. We appreciate them being involved. Check them out. Got some of their products. Use them when I'm riding, which I got to do this past week, by the way. Me did not get ticked off.
What a shocker.
Went out road like half hour, 45 minutes total ride time. Awesome.
I was given a huge gift yesterday while you were riding. My wife and my daughter had to go to my niece's 2-year-old birthday party. It was a paper doll party, moms and daughters only. I got to stay on the couch. I watched the entire Laker-Oklahoma City Thunder game. No interruptions, except for Ferbs came over with his son Mateo, who just caused a ruckus for about a quarter and a half. But it was the first half, so it was okay. But that was a gift. That is a gift that keeps on giving. That's why I'm in a great mood today. And I would love for someone to call this show, 347-677-1525. We are amazed that we can have, you know, a lot of people on the chat room, tons of people listening. No one is trying to save my job by just calling in one time with a take on Hugh, on Cook, on Sullivan, on Mick, on the beach, anything.
Do you take it personally? Like, is that you?
Fortunately for you, I'm so much more mentally tough than that. And I have a lot of confidence in my value to any team that I'm okay with it.
Good.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked there's not one person out there that would like me to keep my job, not one friend, but I'm fine with that. Like I said, it'll save me money. No more parking tickets at Barnett's house. And I have to buy...
Oh, stupid up in here!
God, I love Steve Carell. And I don't have to buy you guys breakfast burritos every Monday anymore. That's $14. So I'm saving money now by no one calling in.
Interesting article this week. Lloyd Ball and Misty May comparison. Jim, who was at a fundraiser.
At Orange County Register?
I think it was Orange County Register. Gentleman who was, a writer who was at a silent auction with Lloyd Ball, started talking to him, didn't know who Lloyd Ball was, and Lloyd gave him the quote, I'm kind of a big deal. He didn't take kindly to that.
But here's the thing. Is Lloyd Ball doing it in a Anchorman sort of way, Will Ferrell sort of way? Probably yes.
Probably yes.
The guy just didn't get that.
Right. I give him the benefit of the doubt on this one, saying I'm kind of a big deal. I would just say that in all seriousness. I can't even see Lloyd saying that in all seriousness.
I've said it probably 39 times in my life. 38 of those times I didn't mean it, but one time I think I meant it.
Was that the time you got arrested and you said, you know, you don't even know who I am? Pull the card that all these NFLers are pulling now?
Never in my life.
Middle range
Never
wide receivers from Cincinnati.
Never been arrested in my life. Check the records.
Getting arrested.
Which is a shock for the stuff I've done.
Taking a swig of gin, like, in front of the cop or something.
Nah,
and going,
I didn't do that.
I'm kind of a big deal. You don't know who I am? You're like a fourth wide receiver on a team. Who cares? Nobody knows your name, fella. But he was talking about the fact that he did not take kindly to Lloyd Ball, saying he was kind of a big deal. And then the opposite of that, Misty May, who was very personable and friendly with him. And he writes an article about how bad Lloyd Ball is, I guess, or, you know, how nice Misty May is.
Well, Misty's very personable, I think, in those situations. You get her, especially on a good day when Misty's feeling good and not being bothered by millions. She's fun. She's great. I've seen her stopped after a loss. People sometimes have no idea. They just stop her after a loss, which are rare, but she stops and signs. She stops and talks. I mean, Misty is a special kind of athlete. You know, I'm sure Lloyd was like, what's up, dude? You don't know me? I'm kind of a big deal, jokingly.
I want to get Lloyd's opinion on this. Maybe he'll remember. Maybe he won't.
It would be great if Lloyd just goes, yeah, I actually meant it completely. Like, how do you not know who I am, you hack, is what
listen,
I really meant to
listen,
say.
Listen, guy. Come on, guy.
I think when you just said fella earlier, that's kind of like calling someone guy. Hey, fella. You got to be ready to throw down. If you call a guy fella, you better be ready for him to throw.
I like guy.
Hey, guy. Love that, too. I'd send it in text to my friends, and I'm not real happy with them.
Is that, like, awesome? awesome for you is not a compliment. You're awesome.
Oh, it's
thanks a lot, Geeter.
It's really not.
Backhander.
Love Captain Awesome.
Right cheek. Or Officer Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show where we have to play this song.
Who's the number one team in the country? There are coaches throwing their computers through the walls right now. I know who they are. They tell me every week. They hate this.
With the American Volleyball Coaches Association, each week the Net Live is proud to present the College Volleyball Weekly, a recap of the week that was in college volleyball. Right now it's the men. And it's SC. They continue to dominate.
We will be there live Saturday night, a special Net Live show.
Which just means more of this. Maybe we'll get the band to play it live.
What are the chances we really showed SC Saturday night?
What are the chances?
I'm in.
That we what?
That we're there. I want you to be there.
We're there.
Okay.
We're in.
I want you to be 100% there, though. Not slouching and pouty like you are at the juniors tournament.
It's college volleyball. I'll pay a little bit more
attention. All right.
You know, it's not quite to the level of international, but I'll pay some attention, please.
Go Fergie. That's what they should sing at the end of the day. Fergie is number one right now in the country.
So we're proud to bring in our three correspondents, Rob Espiro from Irvine, Jay Hostick from Penn State, and Mike Sondheimer from UCLA.
Saw Mike Sondheimer last Thursday at the UCLA basketball game. Of course, Pauley Pavilion closing its doors. The final game ever played at the old Pauley. There won't be a game there until it was renovated 2012. So Sondy was there this weekend. It was very big for UCLA. Sondy, we will start with you and start what's going on out here on the West Coast. Of course, USC winning in five over Long Beach State.
Yeah, Trojans, that was a big, impressive win to beat Long Beach at Long Beach, and now USC gets BYU twice in their home court. And if they win both, I think the Trojans, even though it's only halfway through the season, are a lock to be the host for the MPSF tournament.
Now, Robbie, UC Irvine playing better as of late. They just swept Hawaii two straight matches during the week. I got a couple questions for you. Is Carson playing better, and does this have anything to do with Spittle becoming a full-time setter? I know he was trading off with Stork before.
Well, I think there are a few factors involved there. Carson, I think, is just being Carson, but what's happening is Spittle is getting grasp of the offense. But what was happening earlier in the year is that second outside hitter was really needed to deliver, and they were kind of playing the carousel on there with Jeremy Dano and Jordan Dufault and throwing Kevin Carroll even out there. But what's happened since is the stabilization of putting Jordan Dufault out there, who's now getting double-digit kills and hitting over 300 in the last few matches, and moving Kevin Carroll to the middle, who's just one of the most brainy blockers for a small middle blocker. So I think that's helped out Irvine in the last, let's say, four matches, because they're on a four-match winning streak.
Tell everybody about the serving against Hawaii, a record amount of aces from what I've ever seen.
Oh, definitely, and I think it's bombs away. I think it's the Matadors' mentality last year was bombs away, and I think Irvine's deploying that this year.
How many?
And, they had six in night two. In fact, in night two, they were down in all the sets. In fact, Hawaii served for set points, and they just aced them off the court to claim the match.
Jay, can you give us a little rundown on what's going on in the East Coast? And I also have a question about Ohio State. Are they for real ranked at number five?
Well, let me just say what's up, fellas. Hope you're all doing well.
You were the first one in the chat room, by the way. Good work.
And special birthday shout-out to my boy Jason Hilbert. Anyways, here's my thoughts. Ohio State, are they a legit number five? And if you look at the volley talkers, and everybody's got their West Coast to East Coast bias, as a coach, knowing how and living on the West Coast for years and then moving out here, I can honestly tell you that the West Coast mentality is always that, you know, we are the kings and everybody else is just kind of a peon and they're, you know, fighting their way in there. So that being said, Ohio State is legit. They are absolutely legit. And for all the volley talkers out there that keep spewing all their crap about, well, it's only one game against Irvine, or well, it's only, you know, there's nothing you could do about that. Ohio State's going to go out in a couple weeks, and they're going to see Irvine again, and they're going to see San Diego, and you know, all the people are going to be talking about it, and it's going to be a good match. I'm telling you right now, they've been my call from the day one. They are my dark horse to win it all. And I like Ohio State a lot. They're just solid guys. Out here, for us, beat George Mason in three straight this past weekend. Probably one of the better matches we played all year long.
Saw the tweet from Pav.
Pardon?
I saw the tweet from Pav.
Yeah, it was a good match by us. We played very well. George Mason is not a bad team. We just seem to turn a corner when it comes to blocking. I think our guys are finally buying into the system we're giving them. And, you know, we had our opposite finally step up, and Tom Comfort had a couple of great weeks, and he hit 565 against them. And, you know, that's going to help out your cause when you got some guys besides your big gun, Joe Sunder, who's going to make some things happen. So
sure.
We're happy right now.
Going back historically, Chris, if I can bring something in, Ohio State, the big thing is when the Midwest and the East, when they can't beat the West because they can't pass. And what Jay failed to bring up, Irvine had 13 aces against 10 errors in the win against Hawaii, which is an unheard of ratio. And if Ohio State can come out at Irvine and beat Irvine here and handle Irvine's serving, then I think you definitely have a dark horse team that could win NCAAs. But that's what they're going to have to do, is to come out and prove they can pass the ball, because they couldn't pass the ball last year against Stanford, and that cost them dearly in the NCAA semis.
Sandy, I'm going to start with you, and then we'll go around because I want everyone's opinion. I know everyone, no matter if you're on the East Coast like Jay or on the West Coast like Robbie and Sandy, you're going to be looking at that USC-BYU series Friday and Saturday night. How important, guys, is it for BYU to get a split, to prove that they can win away from Provo and to show everyone that they can play with USC? Sandy,
I think it's going to be real tough for BYU. I actually think the big week is not BYU. I think the big week rests with Long Beach State. Long Beach State Santa Barbara is crucial because four teams get to be at home in the MPSF, you know, first round, and Long Beach has to go into UCLA on Friday. And I think this is a make-or-break week because Long Beach has been great at home, but they've struggled lately on the road. Whereas BYU, if they lose two, they're still in great position to be in the top three, and eventually you're going to have to beat USC at USC anyhow. I don't know how Jay feels, but that's how I feel.
Go ahead, Robbie. Robbie first, then Jay.
Yep.
Okay, so with the split, I think it's going to be very important for BYU because even just from this last week of play, there is a chink in the armor. It took UC San Diego to five to beat them. And, you know, to me that says the mental game is kind of still in need of repair at BYU. Do they have the physicality to beat USC? Sure they can. But I think from the mental standpoint, they need to take at least one of these at USC this weekend.
Here's my thoughts. Number one through number seven, eight, and nine in the MPSF, I think we've already seen this year that anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And some people call it parity. I just say, hey, you know what? Teams understand it. It doesn't matter who's in front of you. You just got to play the game. So is it important that BYU beats USC at USC or splits with them? I think it's important for any team to kind of go into a gym and see if they can handle a hostile atmosphere. So, you know, I think it's just as important for Long Beach State and UCLA. I think it's important for Stanford and Irvine. I think it's important for Pepperdine, Hawaii. I mean, is it any more of an exciting match to watch? I think that's an obvious yes. USC and BYU, number one, number two. Everybody wants to see them go at it. And it's a good place to play. So, yeah, that's my take. I'm going to be watching all the results, but definitely they'll get a little bit more of my action on the game tracker.
Jay, I love the fact you said crap on the show anytime that crap makes I said it twice, I think, in Vegas. But
you watch your West Coast card, Jay.
Mike, I want to ask you this question because I'm partial to Pepperdine, of course, and Pepperdine is one of those teams that's just on the edge of perhaps not even making the playoffs at this point. And they did manage to thump down the Cal State Northridge Matadors.
Oh, brutal, Geeter. Are you going to let them get away with that?
They're awful. They might not make the playoffs.
I think they're ranked
Pepperdine team, and that should be a concern.
I think Cal State Northridge is ranked 30th out of 22 teams in the program.
Yeah, just stirring the pot there.
What do you think about Pepperdine's chances? They seem like a team that just can't find their identity. Mike.
I think Pepperdine, the second half is going to tell, and I think they've got some good things. The problem is that their seniors haven't really stepped up. I don't think Kreider is setting as well as he did last year. I don't think that, you know, Ricks has really stepped up on the outside, and Taylor Janes isn't even in the starting lineup right now. So I think those three seniors, it's their last year. Those three are going to have to really step up in the second round of the league. I think Pepperdine will make the playoffs. I think it will come down to them, Hawaii, and UCLA. And I think Pepperdine and UCLA will get in. Hawaii will be the odd man out with Northridge, San Diego, and Pacific. But I think Pepperdine has to just start playing better. They've got the personnel to do it. And, again, Pepperdine beat Ohio State twice at the start of the year, and Ohio State is our sleeper team to win the NCAAs.
Right, yeah.
Oh, Shondi coming at me. They lost in five, if I'm not mistaken, and it was by a couple of points, and their big hitter had
it was four in the other one.
Fever.
So.
Yes. So don't take any first matches, anything too seriously.
Hey, you have to look at, in the NCAA, it's like basketball. You have to look at every match from the start to the end of the season when things come on. So, I mean, first match counts same as the last match.
Oh, man.
Love it. Robbie, this question is for you. We talk about home court advantage. really, how much of a home court is there advantage is there for a team like SC, UCI, UCLA? When you talk about all these teams that are so close to one another, it's not that big a deal, is it, to travel 25, 35 minutes to go and play in someone else's gym versus traveling to a place like BYU or Hawaii where these kids aren't used to getting on a plane and being out of their elements for a couple of days and then having to perform in front of a hostile crowd?
Well, this discussion actually came up on Volley Talk, and I threw out an argument there that home court advantage didn't really matter in the MPSF tournament. And someone went and calculated the amount of home wins versus away wins, and it was literally a 52-48 split with the favorite going to the home team. So it's a very minor advantage. So, you know, it's up in the air. I mean, the only thing that's for certain right now is USC is playing really well at home, and I'd hate to get them at home. But everything else is still a coin toss.
Yeah, I think the one thing you have to look at is the gyms, though. I think, like, Loyola of Chicago has an incredible advantage with their gym. I think if you look at it, SC and UCLA, they're arenas, not gyms. And I think that when you're in an arena setting, it, compared to Pepperdine, even Irvine's got more of a gym than an arena, I think you have to look at those are less home advantages, because I think the other teams, it's a wide-open place to play. You're not worried about the ceiling or things like that. And I think that's something you have to look at when you're figuring your calculations, when I've looked at stuff over the years.
Sean, are you talking about the Bren or Crawford as being the gym? Because Bren's definitely an arena.
And Crawford is a tiny little gym.
Yeah,
Crawford's definitely a gym. Bren is in between a gym and an arena.
Ooh.
I'll tell you who has the best advantage when it comes to those weird arenas is Long Beach State. You try and hit a high ball out there where you're looking into those lights up on the
Yeah, Long Beach State's another place. I mean, it's like SC's 10,000 seats, UCLA's 13,000 seats, and then UCLA's going to be in the Wooden Center in April. So if somehow UCLA got in a roll, they're going to be in that little Wooden Center in their last home matches when they play Stanford and UOP, because the last match, you know, for Geeter, you want to talk poly history, is going to be UCLA against Irvine and San Diego the last week of March, start of April. That's the last two events ever in Poly Pavilion before it gets remodeled.
Wow.
Stuff. Last thing, I'll start with you, Jay. UC Santa Barbara, third in the country. Is that impressive? Because to me it sure is. And how much does Rick McLaughlin have to do with that?
Well, I think impressive is definitely a subjective term. For those of us that know Rick, he's a very good coach and definitely gets the best out of his players. He was, you know, you guys talked about him when he was on just a couple weeks ago about how he brought Loyola up to, you know, a top five ranking in that last season, and you know, then they cut the program on him. So he's a very knowledgeable coach, and I think it was only a matter of time when he started getting some of his own guys in that program, and he started, you know, guys that were in there from the Kenny Preston years, although a great, you know, time to be a part of that program. I think maybe the mentality has shifted a little bit, and so I don't think it's any surprise to any coaches. I definitely think, and I think everyone agrees that's on this panel, if you can get a kid to graduate in 4 or 5 years from UC Santa Barbara, you must be doing something right, and they're good students. So I think Santa Barbara is doing a great job. It's always good for volleyball when somebody outside the top three or four every year comes in and says, hey, you know what, we're here too. Don't forget about us. And so, you know, Santa Barbara, I can see them making a run into the MPSF and in the late rounds. So, no surprise. I like what they're doing.
Yeah, Rick's great.
New poll out just now. Southern California, number one, BYU, Stanford, UC Santa Barbara, Ohio State, Long Beach State, UC Irvine, UCLA, Pepperdine, Hawaii, Penn State at 11th, Loyola, UC San Diego, Lewis, and Pacific. All the number one votes minus one going to the USC Trojans. Somebody voted Ohio State number one. Who was that?
I'd go Pav.
I wonder where that came from, Pav. Yeah.
I have absolutely no idea, guys.
All right, good. Gentlemen, we thank you all for your information and your hard work. We look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, guys. Take care.
All right.
College Volleyball Weekly, Mike Sondheimer, Rob Espiro, and Jay Hossick checking in. Hey, Geeter.
Yes, sir.
Good news.
What?
For me, because I get a breakfast burrito next week.
Why is that?
Because we have a caller.
Damn it.
Yeah, we have somebody calling in just to save your job.
That hurts. Is it his wife?
It's Matt Gardhoff.
Matt Gardhoff,
hopefully coming off a serious workout at LAX CrossFit.
Oh, my God. I can't even move my arms.
He's on top of a building in Venice, we think.
Matt, you're a big USC fan. We're going to be out there Saturday live. What do you got in store for us?
I cannot wait. In fact, I need a recommendation from you guys on a special doll for the occasion. I don't know whether to go Dusty Dvorak because they're honoring him at halftime, or maybe a classic Timmons, or maybe one of you guys. I don't know.
Classic Timmons would be great.
I don't know if I get the red hair to stand up.
What about the people that are like listening for the first time and you're talking about dolls? Do you know what they're probably going, what is happening with these dudes?
Well, they definitely need to get onto your Facebook page and go find the links to the videos. I've done a couple little videos here and there to kind of promote the Net Live, get the word out. It kills me that this show is as good as it is, and I want as many people to experience that as possible.
Get on to MattGardhoff.com or check it out on our Facebook. We'll get some of that stuff reposted. There's some just funny videos. Now, Matt, I wanted to ask you, whatever happened to the audio that I recorded in KC, put together a cast to do your beach video? I know it was a little late, but we had that audio all put together, me playing an extremely dry Karch Karai. Where is
that? You guys had kind of baked some commentary into the audio as you were reading the script. There's some classic stuff there that, I don't know, I'll have to go back and revisit and see if there's any blackmail stuff in there.
We actually had Molly Alvey from Houston playing a man.
I noticed that. I was like, no, that was an interesting casting decision.
Would you be a little frightened for a Barnett doll? Because I know a Geeter doll would scare me, because I've seen what they've done with the cartoons. They drew a cartoon of J. Rowe and I one time, and I was not happy with this thing.
J.
Rowe looks fantastic.
Of course he did.
In his cartoon. Mine was just, I couldn't even, I hurt the girl's feelings. I felt terrible.
Well, after you guys had Stephas on, and he was talking about it, we got in a little Facebook conversation, and I said, I'm thinking about doing something with you. He's like, oh, be merciful. Take it easy on me.
Well, thanks for saving my job. I really appreciate it. We're looking forward to the live show, Matt, and we can't wait to see you, man. Thanks.
I'm looking forward to it, too, because I was at that USC Long Beach State match, and it was unbelievable. So if it's anything like that.
Matt, bring your whole collection. Right. We'll put them up on the table.
You got it.
Maybe we'll battle them out. Todd Rogers, 92 Karch. Matt Gardhoff, thanks a lot. We'll see you Saturday.
Thank you. See ya.
All right. There you go, Geeter. You're still here.
Still on the show.
All right. We've got our next guest.
We do?
Sitting in the queue. You're taking the intros today. Hit it.
Jay Roche, you got some beats for our next guest.
Oh, good one.
A legend in our game on the women's side. Grew up in San Diego, California. Was with our U.S. men's national team in 1992. Actually an assistant coach when they won a bronze medal. He's won two national championships at Nebraska in 12 years, two times the NCAA Coach of the Year, four times Big 12 Coach of the Year. I believe he's been to five Final Fours, 10 Big 12 titles. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Net Live, John Cook. What's up, Coach?
Well, I'm just learning about the queue and your show here. First time I've been on it, pretty much the first time I've even listened to it, to be honest with you.
Hey, Coach, we love your honesty. We appreciate that. I have a feeling after that intro you might be hooked.
Oh, I definitely. This is cool stuff. So where are you guys? Are you guys like, you got a show, ESPN studios or what?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, we
Wouldn't
wish.
That be good? We could be the talent, just walk in.
Yeah, we call it the home court. It's actually Barnett's house.
Okay.
Myself, Chris McGee, Geeter, I'm here. Barnett is here. And Jay Roche, our DJ, is here. He's on the couch. And then Reed, of course, over in Siberia.
Okay.
Literally. So we do it every Monday, 10 to noon, and we love having you on, Coach. Of course, Nebraska, been in the news a lot lately. Eric Sullivan went to Texas, and you guys just had a hire who actually, we were saying earlier on the show, hurts my club because he was my 16-1 coach. I love the guy. I think he's a star in this game. I think he's got a bright future, and I think it's a great hire for you. That's Dan Connor. So congratulations on that, Coach, and just tell us about that process a little bit.
Well, thanks. I've been watching Dan for a couple of years now, especially after my daughter went out there and played at UCLA, and she spoke very highly of him, and I'm glad we got the whole thing worked out. But this is for me, this is the first time I lost two coaches this year, Eric going to Texas and Lizzie going to head coach at Georgia, and so it's I've been going 7 days a week because it's a lot to – you don't realize how much is going on and how much these people are doing until, they're not doing it right now. So, but we're excited to get Dan gets here tomorrow. And so it's been a big transition, but also with change there comes new opportunity and for growth, and there's an excitement with it. And we're going to the Big Ten this year, so that's going to be all new and different. And one of the things that was appealing about Dan is, he's been through that Friday-Saturday schedule, which we in the Big 12 have always been a Wednesday-Saturday. So – That was one of the things that, you know, I needed that expertise and that experience of playing back-to-back and, you know, things that you may have to do differently as opposed to, you know, every few days playing a match. So, yeah, we're grinding, and we're excited to get him here. And my other assistant coach, Dan Meske, had volunteered here for 4 years, and it felt good to reward him with somebody that's paid his dues and to hire him. And then also Maggie Griffin is going to be our volunteer coach, and she's running a club here, so I feel like we've got a great staff.
Coach, it seemed to make sense that Lizzie would leave for Georgia and a head coach opportunity, but then Eric Sullivan moving to Texas to be an assistant there in the same role that he had in your organization, was that a surprise to you?
Yeah, it was a surprise, but when I told him he couldn't listen to the show, you know, every week, you know, I think that was one of the reasons he wanted to go to Texas. So, but you guys should ask Eric that. I mean, Eric had a lot of great options, and you know, one of the things how I approach assistant coaches, I try to hire people that want to be head coaches, and because I think they're going to really work hard at all aspects of the program, they're going to want to be involved in, you know, have their hands in everything. And we try to give them those experiences, and we've placed a lot of head coaches out of our program. So Eric had a lot of options, and he was in the finals for several jobs, and he had some great options. And so I was a little surprised he went to Texas. But
you say you hire assistant coaches with the thought of turning them into head coaches. How long does that process take? Is it 3 years? Is it 5 years? What do they have to really put in order to achieve a level high enough to cope with their own program?
Yeah, I think it depends on how much experience they have getting here, but I think everybody should coach club. Everybody should potentially have coached high school. And then I think, you know, have some other experience somewhere. And then a program like Nebraska, I remember Pettit told me, he says, the day you stop learning something every day here, it'll be time for you to, you know, go get another job or be a head coach. And I think it's about 3 years. I mean, I think literally you probably learn something every day that you're in a program like Nebraska that you're learning. And I think after 3 years, I think our coaches feel really confident and they're prepared and they interview really well. And you know, we've placed, I mean, about half the SEC now is former Nebraska assistant coaches. And I would say about a three-year time window, depending on how much experience you have before, you know, you got to Nebraska.
Coach, we had Terry on the show recently, and he just absolutely blew up in the chat room and on our message boards, people just loving what he had to say. What did he mean to you in your career?
Well, you know, I was a SoCal guy, and, you know, I'm going to go back a little history for you young guys, but I was started off as a football coach at Coronado High School, and I couldn't get a teaching job. And to get my first teaching job, I had to coach girls volleyball. I knew nothing about it. And so I went, the first thing I did is I found out the best club program in Southern California. It was Orange County with Charlie Brand. I called him up. I said, can I come watch practice and talk to you about volleyball? And so that's where I really got started. And then a few years later, my wife said, you know, why don't you start a volleyball club? So there was a guy, Dick Templeman in San Diego, who's, you know, a legendary club guy.
Still there, coach.
Yeah. And so we got together and started a volleyball club. And anyway, after a couple of years, we had a great team with Sherry Boyer and all these. I mean, we had like 10 Division I recruits, and Nebraska came out and played us on spring break. Back then, you could play against, you know, club teams, college teams. And so I met Pettit, and he called me a few months later and said, hey, you want to come to Nebraska? So we loaded up a pickup and a U-Haul and drove out to Nebraska. And I think, you know, he really gave me a great opportunity to learn the college game. And you know, he's an exceptional coach. And, you know, I learned a lot from him, not only just about coaching volleyball, but about running programs, promoting, you know, public speaking, things like that, how to get people excited about your program. So he did it from the ground up and did a tremendous job. So he had a major, major impact on me in preparing me to be a head coach at the collegiate level.
Coach, Terry Pettit talked a lot about the importance of a mentoring group and a group of people to draw on perhaps outside of your own program to bounce ideas off of. Who's in that group for you?
Well, I don't have very many volleyball people that are in that group. You know, probably the group would be my assistant coaches, would be the volleyball part of it. And then occasionally, like my former coaches that have worked here, Lee Mays and Craig Skinner, you know, I'll call those guys when I need something. But I surround myself here with some people at the university. There was a great article last month on USA Today about the Chris Peterson, the Boise State football coach, and he's in a group they call it the top 10 or something, but it's 10 business leaders in Boise, Idaho that he hangs out, that is his mentor group. They're businessmen to professors to, you know, farmers in Boise, and I have some people here in the community that are my mentoring group that you know, I meet with. I probably meet with one of them at least once a week, and typically we meet for coffee in the morning. And but I think Coach Pettit is right. I think you have to. I don't care who you are and what you're doing. If you want to be successful, you've got to surround yourself with some people that are going to support you, and especially through tough times and challenging situations. And they've got that experience and wisdom and to help you. And really, for the football people, Coach Osborne is our AD, and I mean he's a great resource. And I know a lot of the coaches here use him as a mentor as well. I mean the guy's unbelievable.
You're listening to John Cook on the Net Live. Coach, you know, we have some questions from our listeners on the chat board. One is, how do we get more listeners in Nebraska? And I think this comes up because we've talked a lot about your program. And when you had that vision, when you first took over to dream big and to get it more statewide, the next thing you know, you guys are selling out arenas and then you're getting Final Fours. And that was just a dream of yours. And then it became a reality. How did you spread it in Nebraska, the love of volleyball, and get people so involved? Because we're trying to do that with our show every single week.
Yeah, well, the way it happened in Nebraska, I mean, it started with, and I don't know if Coach Pettit talked about this, but he started with tying it in with football. And he would, you know, if you had a football ticket, you get in the volleyball game. And then the next big thing I think that was a huge turning point was getting it on public television so the whole state could see it for free. You didn't have to have cable or anything. And so that got us in every home. And then from there, it's about getting out in the community and relating. So, like, right now in my schedule, I'm probably out three days a week speaking somewhere all over the state. And our players are out constantly in the community. They don't go as far as I do in the state. But, for example, we had a player Saturday night speak out in a place called Henderson, Nebraska. It's a small little town. But, I mean, it's a huge deal when our players come in there. And, you know, you got to remember, we have no pro sports here. So volleyball is a really big deal, and along with all the sports here. But to get your guys' program in Nebraska, I don't see why it wouldn't really take off. I just don't know. I don't know if anybody here knows about it. And so my suggestion would be, our booster club has over 700 families, that translates into about over 3,000 people. And I think if you got it through them, Rich Kern, I don't know if he listens, but the guy's, you know, he's got his website. If somehow you could tie in with him, you'd probably have all of Nebraska listen to it, because it's. Volleyball is a big deal here, and people, you know, Dan Connors has no idea what he's getting into. But for example, when we announced the press, we did a press release the next day in the paper. He was on the news. He was he has a huge article in the Omaha World Herald that I put on his desk. You know, tomorrow night we're going to be presented the Big 12 championship at the basketball game. He's probably going to get introduced there. You know, it's not just we just hired some coach. I mean, this is a big deal. I mean, and everybody's talking about it, and I get emails, and everywhere I go in town, people are saying, hey, when's Dan getting here? You know, and UCLA guy, you know, how'd you hire him? I mean, it's the talk, and volleyball is part of the culture here. I'm going to point something out to you guys that's pretty amazing. Maybe you guys have already thought about this, but this past year in the 2010 season, at the high school level, a team from Papillion South won the Mythical National Championship. The Junior College Championship was won by Western Nebraska. Wayne State, you guys probably don't even know where Wayne State is.
Oh, I absolutely know where Wayne State is. I've driven by it on my way to Norfolk.
Okay. Wayne State was ranked two different times, ranked number one in Division II. And then, of course, you know, Nebraska, we were ranked top five most of the year. So there's four different levels of volleyball. We only have 1.8 million people in the state, but here we are at four different levels, you know, competing at the highest level. It's pretty amazing. In fact, I don't know if anybody can explain that.
Coach, the culture there is astounding. I ran a camp for 4 years in Norfolk, and we would draw kids from, I think it was 25 local communities, and it was absolutely amazing, and the reverence with which they talk about the Nebraska program. And I think the public TV stuff is genius. I'm envisioning us with Sesame Street, really, Geeter.
I'm fine with that.
I'm the new Mr. Hooper.
Well, Coach, we are going to do a live show for the USC men's game on Saturday, and we've already talked to Texas and Penn State. Russ wants us to come out. Jarrett wants us to come out. We would love to come out to a Nebraska match next year. That could be one way, too, where your fans can see us.
Yeah, I think that would be great. We got some, you know, big matches. We're gonna open with Penn State on a Wednesday night to start off the Big Ten, so I'm not sure it gets any bigger than that.
It does not, and we're going to send you a slew of business cards, so don't be afraid of that, Coach. Hey, Coach,
okay.
We get asked all the time about men's programs, and we always use you guys in Texas as an example. Like, why couldn't it work there? Is it something that's ever been talked about?
Yeah, it has come up, and I think it would work great here. The problem is trying to be Title IX compliant. And what skews it for Nebraska is we had the most sports in the Big 12. Of all the Big 12 schools, we carried the most sports. And we added, over the course of the years, to be Title IX compliant, we added women's bowling and women's rifle, just trying to get, you know, at a level. So men's volleyball is cursed in a way that, you know, the numbers don't let it work with the Title IX stuff. And that's why it's never been started. But it has been talked about. I think it would be huge here. I've tried to get the men's team. I've talked to Doug Beal for years about getting the men's team to come play in the Coliseum. And actually, they did way, way back. There was a story about them playing here. It may have been in Omaha. I can't remember. But Jim Coleman was coaching the team at the time, and they played Cuba, and there was communist protesters, and, you know, they had to get a police escort. So, I mean, it was wild, but this was way back, you know, a long time ago. But I think men's volleyball could be huge here, but I think it's the Title IX numbers is that what keeps it from happening.
Coach, I want to bend into that for just a second about Title IX. When that discussion comes up, what's the reaction of those supporters of Title IX or the people that are really pushing it to the fact that it's not allowing opportunity for which there would be demand on the men's side?
Yeah, well, the way the law states is that you have to provide equal opportunity for men and women. And what skews it here in Nebraska is our walk-on football program is so big. And so that throws the numbers off. And so we're trying to get in more women opportunities. But if you added men, that's going to create – you got to create – you know, let's say you added 15 men's volleyball players, you're going to have to add 15 more female athletes. And So that's where the problem's always going to be. And we're actually still not totally Title IX compliant under the Big Ten standards. We're going to have to figure out a way now to raise our percentages because the Big Ten demands more than the Big 12 did for Title IX compliance.
Coach, is that a demand issue from the female athletes, that there wouldn't be enough female athletes to fill that spot, or is that a financial issue for the university and having to field more female athletes?
Well, I think it's a combination of both, but it's the law. So you've got to, and again, so I don't know, you know, what, you know, how they would add more female athletes to make it equivalent. I mean, like I said, we have rifle and bowling, just trying to, you know, get those scholarship numbers up. You know, I mean, I think those kids are on close to full rides, if not full rides, for those sports. And again, trying to match it for what the men have.
Coach, I know you guys built a sand facility there. I've seen it on TV. Very cool. I'd love to know where you stand right now on sand volleyball, and if you guys had it, would that create more opportunities?
And that's a great, great question, and it's a great idea, and we would love to have sand volleyball here. We got a beautiful sand court. We built it first class. I mean, the sand, we spent $200,000 on the sand to make it right, and it's in a beautiful athletic complex that we have here. That is a $50 million complex we just built about 4 years ago. Here's the problem. Our travel budget would be more for sand volleyball than it is for indoor because we have nobody to play. So we'd have to be traveling to the coast all the time to play. And I'm at Coach Osborne was the first – we were the first BCS school to write a letter in support of sand volleyball. And only a couple other schools, Tennessee was another one, that actually jumped in and said, this is in the very beginning, to say, hey, we think sand volleyball is something we ought to look at and provide these opportunities. Now, the format it's now evolving into, we don't have a way to play. So we can't justify, you know, spending another, you know, $200,000 on travel to the coast you know, we are equidistant from every ocean, but that's the good news. The bad news is we're equidistant from every ocean because it's a long ways to get there.
I never thought about that travel being a big issue. That's a fine point. Coach, we'd be remiss if we didn't address the round of 16 incident with Jimmy Mack and what happened with that. Were you surprised by the amount of attention that incident got?
I thought we were going to have Jimmy Mack on.
Well, we tried to arrange the cage match.
Yeah, what happened to that? You were supposed to have them both on at the same time.
Yeah, I was looking forward to it.
Was
I surprised it got that much attention? Yeah. Yeah. And it was an unfortunate incident and something I'm not sure. I mean, sometimes you can look at those things that are great for volleyball, but afterward it doesn't leave a great taste in your mouth that, you know, it's about the players and the game. But I will tell you, that was might have been the most intense match I've ever seen coached in. And it was a, you know, there was, I think what created the intensity was the first of all, the impact of the match. Here's two great teams who probably shouldn't be playing each other in the third round of the NCAA tournament, but are, and it happens to be at Washington. And then, of course, 2 years ago in 2008, you know, we pulled off a miracle there. And a lot of those same kids were, you know, still on the team that went through that. So it was about as emotional, as intense match as I've ever seen. And unfortunately, I think that it spilled over into the coaches and the fans, and it erupted, you know, there at the end. But yeah, to answer your question, I was very surprised that it got that much attention.
Have you two spoken since?
We haven't spoken directly. We've agreed to meet at some time and have dinner and talk it out. We've talked a little bit on email and texting, you know, trying to resolve it and, you know, move on from it and, you know, no hard feelings.
Coach, you mentioned that your two teams shouldn't have met in that round of 16. Do you think that Penn State got an easy road, and do you think that the seeding process needs to be changed?
Well, I didn't follow who Penn State really played, so I won't comment on that. But I know that yes, I think the seeding needs to be changed. I thought it was going to get changed after they put four Big 12 teams in the same regional last year. And I think what happens is that you've got these people on this committee who are not volleyball people, and they don't think about these things. I mean, the men's basketball tournament right now, these guys, they're probably in a room for the last 6 weeks trying to figure out who's going to be in the tournament and where they're going. And these guys, our volleyball gets together a couple days before the tournament and sorts this out. And I don't think, you know, I made a suggestion last year that, you know, take a guy like Pettit, put him on that committee, let him oversee it and look through things that may not make quite sense, may not pass the eye test. I mean, maybe it passes the numbers in the RPI, but maybe it doesn't pass the eye test of, you know, is this really fair, and is this a true championship? And so yeah, I think the system is flawed, but the NCAA, I'm not sure how much they really care about volleyball to get to that point.
You're listening to Net Live here on the volleyballnetwork.com. We're talking to head coach John Cook from Nebraska. Coach, I want to switch gears for a second, and with your international experience and what's going on with Hugh McCutchen and the Minnesota discussion currently, what is your take on what are the issues at hand in the negotiation process between Hugh and Minnesota?
So I haven't talked to Hugh, so I don't know. I think he either got a fish or cut bait. I think to try to run two programs, I'd worry about the toll that's going to take and, you know, the message that it sends to both programs. I mean, you know, you're either all in or you're not. And so I don't know what Hugh's working through. It's a very interesting situation that he was presented. And I think he would love to go through the Olympics. But, it's an interesting deal. I'm not sure how many other sports, you know, would be, if it was a football or basketball program, would be, you know, taking this long to sort it all out, which is it's pretty unique to, I think, for the sport of volleyball to be able to kind of follow this and be in that situation.
Do you have any interest in eventually coaching a national team?
Yeah, I've always, I coached with the men, as I heard you guys in the intro. I have always said two things, that I think the Olympics are the greatest sporting event in the world. And I think coaching the national team is 2 weeks out every 4 years is the best job you could ever have. And now it's tough to get to that point, and of course you got to do well, but I just think representing your country in an event like that, and you know, and you played in the Olympics. I mean, there's this, you can't describe it. And we were able to win with Fred Sturm. We won a bronze medal, and I thought we were two 10-foot line calls with Timmons' toe on the line from I think winning the gold medal, or at least having a shot to play for the gold medal. And you know, so yeah, that always intrigues me.
We had a lot of friends on that team. Bobby Samuelson went to Northridge with me, and Brian Ivy, Hilly. That was a good group of character guys too.
Really good group of character guys. And what was so cool about that team, you know, and they're still. I saw a thing on TV about the Olympics, and they're still pulling that out as one of the greatest stories ever in the Olympics. Because you know, you guys remember Sammy got ejected.
Yep.
And the guys shaved their heads, and Timmons started it. I mean, it was a pretty powerful deal. And
yeah, to see Big Red shave his head was unbelievable. I mean, that's one of the images that I remember from that Olympics.
Yeah, and you know, they called them the Bald Eagles, and I just, you know, the guys played great. It was a great group. But what was cool was back then, you know, Karch and Timmons and Stork and all those guys were playing in Italy and, you know, making big money. So when Fred and I started coaching, it was in the middle of the quadrennium, and we had a bunch of young guys, Greenbaum, Ivy, Stork, you know, a lot of young guys, and so we had to start from scratch. Brett, you guys remember Brett Bush at all? He played at Cal, but he was on the team as well. And I remember our first trip was to Cuba, and of course George Bush was the president, and they're chanting "El Presidente, El Presidente." The guy was a rock star there.
That's great.
But what was cool was, we had to start from scratch pretty much and build that team. And I remember the year out from the Olympics, we got the bronze medal in the World Cup, which is, I don't think people realize in the U.S. how tough it is to medal at a World Cup. And we did it with the young guys. And, you know, I'll never forget, Greenbaum was setting for us, and we're playing Brazil. And we get to 14-13 in the fifth. Greenbaum's been chewed up by this great left side hitter for Brazil, and he stuffs him on match point.
That's great.
it was unbelievable. But the guys were great.
Coach, you mentioned that you took over that program. I believe it was Neville that was in charge of that program for the 2 years before you and Fred Sturm took over. What were some of the challenges that you faced with just 2 years to get ready for the Olympics, or probably something more like 18 months?
Well, it was probably good. We didn't know a whole lot about what was going on. You know, I had never coached men before. I mean, I've coached high school football. So for me, it was just, these guys, you know, Craig Buck and Timmons and these guys just trying to, you know, earn my place with those guys and show I could do it. And I'll tell you what, we had some great help. Tony Crabb was he stayed on, and Jim Coleman were two guys that really helped me survive that and helped Fred. And Fred's he's one of the brightest coaches I've ever been around. I mean, the guy is unbelievable as far as knowing the game and stats and things like that. But Jim Coleman and Tony Crabb were huge influences. And then one of the things I love about this is, you guys need to have a topic about this, but one of the things I love about the men's side of the game, all the men coaches stick together, and they all support each other. I feel like in the women's game, it's every man, every coach to themselves. And you know, and people probably don't know this, but we took Carl McGowan went to the Olympics with us and went on some of the big the World Cup and the big ones.
Yeah.
Marv was with us. Jimmy Mack was with us. And the guys all stick together and support each other, and you know, it's a team effort for men's volleyball. And I just think it's probably because they feel like they have to survive. But there were some great people around us that made up our team that we went to the Olympics. And you know, I think a combination of all that was really good. And the other big thing was incorporating the young guys, Greenbaum and Ivy and Fortune, and those guys with the old guys who were coming back. And you got to remember, Partee, Timmons, Stork. I mean, those guys were all in their 30s. And
they've been to war.
Yeah, and they you know, they were beat up and hurt, and so we, one of the things that I was really proud of is that we developed a kind of a program with, we got some people in San Diego, that's where the team was based, and we created this program for them to rehab themselves back and keep and get healthy, and I thought it worked really well, and you know, again, with the first match, Ivy tweaks his knee, but if Ivy stays healthy, and I mean, I think we have a shot in to win that gold medal, and it was a learning on the fly pretty much for 2 years.
Coach, did you still want to go down ball, back row attack versus Cuba?
what do you mean by that?
I don't know. That's what Sato was saying. He was texting.
Oh,
go down. You wanted to go down ball versus Cuba's back row attack.
Oh, you mean just dig him like a down ball?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you gotta, like, sometimes you got to pick and choose who you're going to dig, and yeah, well, we beat Cuba, so, you know, I think we lost to Cuba 13 straight times, and we beat them in the Olympics, so that was pretty cool. I think five of the times we lost to him 15-13 in the fifth. I remember, ask Sammy next time you guys see him about, several times that we had to console him on losing to those guys, you know, in Heartbreakers on, you know, on those tours and stuff.
Yeah, he, you know, we still see him a lot. He does a lot of stand-up paddling. I live near him, and I see him running on the beach a lot. He's still an absolute monster and in great shape. He'll play some fun four-man tournaments and in the six-man, and Sammy can still bring it.
Yeah, he was a stud. So
now, Coach, I thought you brought up a great point, because in the men's game, they do stick together. You'll see Marv and Al, who are huge rivals in the Olympics, together up in the stands for the cause of USA Volleyball. Is it because in women's, maybe it's so much, I don't know, competition
or the money,
I don't know what it is, but you make a great point that I never thought of before.
Yeah, I don't know. I have tried to, and I won't mention names, but I've tried to go to practices, go hang out. I mean, like our football coaches a couple weeks ago were down in Florida. I mean, they're hanging out with Florida. They went to Oregon. Last year they went to Florida. So they're not playing them in the schedule, but they potentially could see them in a bowl game maybe. But I mean, they go spend a week there, and I've tried that. I've tried to build those relationships, and it just, I don't know, it's everybody feels threatened, and again, it's complete opposite of the men's game.
Coach, how many times have you seen Pearl Jam live?
Just once, but I do have XM Radio. They now on channel 39. It's 24 hours. Pearl Jam. And
Barney's looking at me like I'm crazy for asking that. But you know what? You got to do your homework. I know Coach Pearl Jam.
Yeah, I have signed poster. Eddie Vedder has a Husker Power T-shirt we gave him. So I always tell my team if you know when we have bad practice, I'm like, I'm out of here. I'm gonna go tour with Pearl Jam.
I love it. True or false, is Wendy really the best setter in the household?
Absolutely.
That's your wife. She's a two-time All-American, by the way, Barney.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She got it done back in the old days.
Your daughter, Lauren, still to this day drives me crazy, because in the quarterfinals at JO's, we were playing them, and she made some of the most incredible defensive plays, and they went on to win a national championship that year. They got hot and didn't lose a set. We crushed them in game one, and they ended up crushing us the next three games, and she was just the difference maker. So as a father of a daughter myself, who's only three and one on the way, God, how you must have been proud of that, Coach.
Yeah, that was I was just recruiting yesterday in Chicago, and I texted my wife, like, I miss those club days when, you know, Lauren was playing, because there's just so much joy and passion in those kids. You know, they're playing, and they're, you know, you see them do something for the first time, and it's just I miss those days.
Coach, tell us a little bit about your daughter going to UCLA and then coming back home.
Well, you know, I tried to recruit her here to Nebraska. And, you know, as a junior in high school, she's like, Dad, I ain't playing for you. I'm out of here. So I felt really, really fortunate that she was recruited by UCLA and ended up going there. I also feel terrible that, you know, she came home. And there's a lot of things that go into it, but you know, I think the culture, the change from Nebraska to UCLA and LA was a big hit for her. It was a big change, and I think the other thing, academically, there was some issues with her major, and I think academically she felt like she was really in a, UCLA is a very tough academic school, and I don't think she felt like she fit in academically there, and she couldn't get her major what she wanted. And so, you know, it was a combination of a lot of things. And you know, she did it, and she went back. She came home at Christmas and said that, you know, she brought all of her stuff home. I'm like, what's going on? And she goes, I want to come back. And I said, well, you're going to go back and finish out your first year and, you know, meet with Andy. And she did that. But then, of course, you know, that week, you know, all kinds of things happened, and Andy retired. And so, you know, for some whatever reason, you know, she didn't feel, you know, sometimes kids have great instincts, and she didn't feel like that was where the place for her for the rest of her college career. And so she came back here with no promises, and, you know, we really didn't even need to set her when she came back. And but it's worked out, and she's really happy. And but I know she really liked Kim and Andy and Dan at UCLA, and, you know, they had a great her first year there. They had a great season that year, and we're a couple points away from winning the Pac-10, and we feel really fortunate that she had that opportunity. But I think it's hard for Nebraska kids to go out there and, you know, and feel like they fit in.
Well, there's no Runza, first of all, so there's nowhere to eat.
Yeah, that's true.
Coach, do you feel like you're harder on your daughter in practice, or are you really able to treat her like every other athlete?
You know, I coached her up until she was 14, and, you know, I think when you're, and then when she's back, it's just, you know, I got a group of kids down there. I coach them. I really don't pay attention to who's who, and I've been doing this long enough that I think, you know, I treat everybody this very similar, and I don't think she does either, that it ever becomes a problem. I think the only time it sometimes surfaces a problem is when she gets caught between a player and something that maybe have happened, and, you know, does coach find out about it, and what if he asks me about it, what do I say? Do I wrap my teammate out, or do I protect my teammate? So, but she always sticks with her teammate. So I think being around as a coach's daughter, I think she gets it and handles it really well. And you guys got to remember, she played with five of the kids in our program, and she played club with, so there's a, you know, she had a built-in connection here.
Well, Coach, we learned a lot, and thank you for listening to us for the first time, and hopefully we can get you back on here, especially when the season gets going in the fall, and the Net Live would love to come out to Nebraska, and thank you for all those, you know, the advice on how to reach Cornhusker Nation.
Yeah, and just if you guys want to do that Wednesday night, Penn State, or the other big weekend will be when Ohio State plays here in football. We are also here in volleyball, and it's going to be a huge weekend. I can't remember exactly who we play in volleyball, but you guys need to experience Nebraska football volleyball weekend, because it's something you got to do once in your life.
And Coach, say hi to Laura Dykstra for me.
She's awesome.
Yep.
Coach, awesome. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Coach.
John Cook. Hey, Coach.
40 minutes with John Cook.
You're not getting that anywhere else. Here on the Net Live.
Spoke on a lot of different things when it came to volleyball. The Hughes situation, men's volleyball, that time he was with the National League. You forget about that 1992 team. It's a lot of guys that I grew up with and played against, a lot of guys that you know. And it's interesting, losing 13 times to Cuba. Ooh. And then beating them when it counted is pretty cool.
Cuba. Marv's got an awesome picture on his wall of him with Fidel Castro.
Talked about Jimmy Mack.
Always wondered about that one.
Said they're going to have I've seen that picture, by the way, the Castro. So they're going to have some dinner. They've texted. They've emailed.
Can we tape that? Can we tape that discussion?
You gave me the wave off. I was ready to. You know what I forgot to ask him was, did Sullivan jump in the way of Keno, or did everyone stay clear? That's what I wanted to ask.
Sullivan wouldn't be afraid to mix it up, although he claims he was the peacemaker. Maybe that's like the new Sully. The old Sully.
I'm telling you right now.
Going,
if Keno's heated up, I'm running. I mean, as tough as I think I am, I'm getting out of Keno's way.
We're going to have like a volleyball cage match.
I mean, he is a gentle giant.
Bob Samuelson versus Steve Timmons.
Ooh.
Ooh. I'll have to ask Sammy about that next time I see him at Martha's Cafe.
He was basically telling us how to get to the Nebraska Nation.
There you go.
There's a lot of volleyball fans out there.
I cannot believe the reach that program has. Right, I'm in northeast Nebraska, the middle of nowhere. We're in a cornfield. These kids, they get off detasseling duty, which is going through the fields, taking the tassels off of corn stalks.
Yeah.
okay, to come to our camp for 4 days. And they are wearing Nebraska everything. They know the players. They know the schedule. They know the big matches. They know everything about it. And this is all the way across the state. You know, Lincoln's on the other side. And just, it's great the way they've built that into a powerhouse.
And, you know, he had some interesting things to say about club volleyball as well. And his daughter won the national championship a couple years ago. When they beat us in the quarterfinal, I'm not kidding. I mean, we hosled them in game one. Beat us a close one in game two. Crush us in game three. And it was 3 out of 5. Game four, she made. And I know I like to call it games, and people get upset on the chat board. It's games. It's games if you guys...
It's not a game. Don't just stop.
I tried to get an explanation
easy
on
Sunderland.
That last week.
Yeah. Here's the deal. When she made plays that setters just don't make, and she was the difference maker.
She made plays that you at setter wouldn't have made.
Not even a question. But at that level, I mean, she out-of-system balls, long balls, perfect sets, and then she made the defensive play that my assistant coach, Marcia Scully, will forever, just a one-handed weirdo, stabbed the back line that just ended the game at 25-22 or something. She just made those kind of plays. Great player. I thought he was honest about going to wanting her to go finish out at UCLA and talking to Andy and all that stuff. So that was a lot of that was in the news a lot when that went down.
I think it's a great parenting point right there. Look, I don't expect you to play next season, but if you commit to this season, finish the season. I've told my boys that with some of the sports. I don't want to play soccer anymore. Fine. Finish this soccer season, then move on. I think that's great, even in college. Look, you committed to be there for a year, right? Even a scholarship is year to year. You are not obligated the next season. Finish it out, then worry about it. Then make your decision. But fulfill your obligation to your university.
I agree. And I just cannot get the image of Kenno, Sully, Cook, and Jimmy Mack all four thrown down. Would have been fantastic for the game.
If you want to interact with us during the week and not just on Mondays, Facebook is the place to do it. We've got questions out there. Throw something out at us if you think of something, because God knows between the 150,000 people listening to this show, someone's got a different idea about what we should be talking about than what we decide to talk about.
Oh, trust me, they do.
They do. So Bradley Fitz Rosenberg threw something up there this past week. We're going to push it forward a week, but it's great. Get out there and tell us what you think. Bradley said, since you're watching the All-Star game and everyone always thinks about it, can we get a segment discussing if the USA put together a team with our best athletes, who would play where, i.e. Blake Griffin would be a starting outside hitter, Dwight Howard, middle blocker, etc. Now, he kind of pinned it into basketball with those two names, but I thought, okay, let's take that out of basketball and maybe some football players that would also get into that discussion. But get on our Facebook this week and give us your starting seven. We need a libero. I think every sport is eligible.
Are we doing this this week or next week, you said?
No, we're going to do it next week.
Okay, because I have mine. So
right, well, we're already after 12.
That's
we're at 2:15.
That's fine.
I want to give it its just desserts.
Absolutely.
Here. We've gone a while. And really, we need a libero and get into the other sports. Baseball, there isn't a baseball player going to make a volleyball team. Bunch of non-athletes. Bunch of skill guys. It's like a golfer making a volleyball team. No chance.
What about Torrey Hunter in the outfield? Climbing the walls. Come on, that guy's got ups.
Okay. Torrey Hunter's like what?
I'm like the voice of God out of nowhere, huh?
He's 6'2", executive producer. Thanks for chiming in and keeping the callers underhand. There's another caller in the queue, by the way. Torrey Hunter's like 6'2". No chance. Sorry. Not going to work. So,
not even close.
Get on our Facebook page. Give us your starting seven. We want to hear your starting seven. Any other athlete is eligible. That doesn't have to be basketball. Give me sprinters, weightlifters, other Olympians. I don't care.
Just so you know, I'm giving you nine.
Nine, you got
yeah,
two
because,
subs?
Well, no, yeah, I like three outside hitters. I'm going to give you my starters and who's coming off the bench.
Hey,
same thing at setter and same thing. And I have to have a DS coming in serving for Dwight Howard in the middle.
This
yeah, absolutely,
this
100%.
This isn't women's volleyball. You don't have 36
subs. Listen, I know
dude.
You don't understand the game and what we do with the juniors level and all that stuff.
No, we don't care about
participation.
We're talking
this
about
excellence.
This
is how
excellence.
I'm going to do it. You do it how you want to.
Hey, your juniors game and the women's game is just about, well, we want everybody to play and feel good. Shut up. Get the best players on the court.
That was an asinine comment. That's not what I said.
That's why you have nine people out there. That's why you have a DS and you have a middle blocker who never plays.
I do not like you.
Fine.
Just being honest.
You're still
but
coming
I love
back
your,
next week.
I love
matter.
This Tabasco sauce that they brought. I've
that
never had
good
that
on
kind.
A burrito. Chipotle Tabasco is
good. Good stuff.
That is
smoky.
Yeah, he went smoky.
Oh, he's back. Voice of God. Who was calling? Sacramento?
Reed. You guys were talking too long. He's gone now. I don't know. I didn't hang up on him. I promise.
I'm not talking to Reed. Tell him to go to sleep and get rested up to beat Poland, okay? Just tell him to focus.
He's listening, so you could tell him.
Yeah, Reed, focus. Go to sleep. You've had like 17 trainings in 5 days there in Russia. Get your team off the panic button, okay? And tell Lloyd Ball we know he's a big deal. We know. Don't have to tell us about him.
Hey, guys, one thing that you missed on the message board that I really liked is that whole combine thing. You know, what guys would, you know, do well at the combine? Volleyball.
George
or the other way around.
Mike Morrison, maybe. At least Mike Morrison,
a couple guys.
Mike Morrison's doll would do really well at the combine because that sucker was ripped.
Dead air, crickets, great.
Crickets.
Where were the crickets?
What are all the combine tests?
Well, you got a bench.
You've got the bench press.
Shuttle run.
So, you know,
vertical
there's some guys.
Leap.
Sean Scott would do well.
Yeah.
Vertical leap, if there'd be many
Sean
guys.
Scott would do
Sean
very
Rosenthal.
Well.
Eater, how many times can you put up 225?
Well, at the combine, Nick Lucena.
Rosenthal's
crazy athlete.
Bench 225 like twice, maybe once.
I could do it more than twice. Come on.
Not you. We're not talking about you.
Oh.
Your long-lost brother from another mother, Sean Rosenthal.
I would like to meet him just so I can dispel the rumor that we're brothers.
You need a Rosie. T-shirt. That's what you need.
You know how I fade out when I'm not involved in the conversation? Is Reed in or not in? What happened?
No, he's out.
Oh, he's out. Okay.
He's out. He hung up.
Brandon, what'd you like about the show? And what'd you dislike? Go ahead.
I'm going to be like Tony from PTI. I thought it was good. You know, I thought the Cook interview was great. Thought some great back and forth on the men's side on the Ohio State debate. I like that. We need a little bit more of that, you know, calling people out, saying, no, I disagree with you on that. I definitely like that. And, you know, I think if more people saw what Matt G does online, they would really
People that don't know him are thinking this guy's playing with dolls and they're a little rattled, but
Matt
Goddard, when you see how talented this guy is. You know, on
great
the on Volley Talk, they talked about Big Ten. You know, they wish we would have talked more about him joining the Big Ten, and he did mention
it,
but we didn't get into it too much. But there's just so much to talk about with John Cook.
When you have those guys on,
a thousand things.
You could spend an hour and a half.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean,
I did like Cook calling Barnett out for not getting Jimmy Mack on, though. I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, Barnett was scared to go there. I'm not going to lie.
I just want to know why he didn't hire Rosenthal. Rosenthal was in the discussion.
And Sullivan texted, and he said, you bet I jumped in. I mean, he was ready to go. He was making peace, but he was at least in front of Kenno.
He's ready to stick his size 7 shoe on somebody.
I just think he was like, Kenno, please stop.
Don't hurt me.
Run everyone over. No, they all got a fuse. All four of those guys. Come on. You don't get to where they've all been athletically, coaching, whatever, you know.
I'll throw it out.
Without having something.
You know Rosenthal.
There's not one of us in this room that doesn't have it.
Rosenthal could have saved you a Dan Connors, you know. He was in the discussion with Cook.
Rosenthal.
He's big time.
Were you up for that job?
Now he's mad at me.
You got a phone call.
Hack.
Now he's mad.
You just cost me a 16 once, coach. You had a damn good one.
See?
Sorry, brother.
Now he's in trouble. No, he's in the discussion. You know why? Because he's on this show. That's why. He's executive producing this show. Coaches are finding out about him. That's why. It's all about us, Geeter. We're pushing people forward. If people leave the show for greater pastures, like DJ Roche, he's going to go from here, and maybe he'll be as famous as Samantha Ronson one day.
That sounds like a little bit of a jab. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't have any famous DJ brothers.
Also, Samantha Ronson, better hair.
We're going to talk about this off air.
future guests, everybody. Dane Blanton, Mike Hebert from Minnesota. We're still trying to chase him. Steve Lindecki of Corona Wide Open. Those are on my list.
Jamie Morrison coming in. He's been assistant coaching for the women. He's over there coaching a professional team in Europe. He's going to join us and talk about the challenges. It's a path that Hugh McCutcheon was on. Hugh McCutcheon was assistant coach for the men's team and then took a men's team over there in Vienna and played with a bunch of Americans to get that experience as a head coach. So he's on a similar path. We're going to talk to him about that. Looking for some indoor players on the women's side to talk to about the upheaval with Hugh McCutcheon. We will get Hugh McCutcheon. When this gets resolved and no one cares anymore, he'll come on the program to talk about it.
And beach is on the verge of being a big topic because sooner or later something has to be
actually
announced. And, I mean, it's going to go down here soon. I mean, the season's going to start in 2 months. So
I mean, we have to sign our contract.
We have to sign our contract. So we're going to start having beach guests on as well.
I'm glad doesn't involve me. Thanks a lot. Beach.
East Beach.
Indoor's got to get on TV more so I can get some jobs.
My hiatus from the show when the baby is born. Who knows how long that's going
to
last.
You're still coming. You're still coming. You're going to want to
come. By the way,
come.
I'm going to pay to go. We will come to the hospital.
Yeah.
Trust me.
You will get parking tickets every day.
Unless the baby is
here.
Born on a Monday, I'm coming. Does everyone understand that?
Let's do the show live from the hospital.
Live from Cedars.
Yes. Let's do it.
So we got a lineup coming at you. And this next month's going to be big on the Net Live. Download it at iTunes for free. I know we say that a lot.
Friend us on Facebook.
Time to grow it.
TheNetLive@gmail.com. We're going to be live this Saturday, 5:30 SC.
From SC. That's a big one.
From SC. We'll have all kinds of guests. Pat Hayden, we're going to work on him from USC Athletic Director. Of course, Ferguson and a couple of the players spreading the word about volleyball. We'll be back again next week with another good show, 10 a.m. Monday.
Follow us on Twitter.
You'll still be here.
At the Net Live.
Thanks a lot to Zamps.
At Geeter3. What are you, Jay Roche?
DJ Roche.
All right. Good luck to you, everybody.
Be remiss we didn't mention Zamps. Mikasa was a longtime supporter of the show. They're pumping us for some giveaways. We've got to come up with a format here for some giveaways. It's going to be some good stuff. And Matt Gardhoff, of course, for his efforts. Big shout-out to people who are doing graphic arts for us. We've got some people working on graphic arts. We've got commercials. We've got all kinds of stuff in the works. Everybody working hard. So Volleyball Mag coming on soon. Going to be good stuff. And, Josh Glazebrook, thanks a lot. Put together our first ad. You'll see it in this month's Volleyball Mag.
I'm excited about that.
Hit it. I like the Vegas music last weekend. Good Vegas music.
I work the show, just in case you're wondering. I don't just show up and hit buttons.
When he's in Vegas, because I've seen it many times, the level rises in him. He's got a whole new look. Everything just about him is...
A little glow. He's got
the glow. It's like, oh my God, I'm home.
It's like Last Dragon.
It just feels right. Like, I should be there.
He goes all blue or gold or whatever was the final color.
He's like
Last
Kane
Dragon.
In Kung Fu. He roams the earth. But when he lands in Vegas, staying the night.
Still trying to find Reed's place in Vegas.
Like I said, everybody, love or hate, listen. We appreciate it. Make sure you dance with the devil on occasion. It makes for good stories later in life.
Reed's got a 5,000 square foot house with a jacuzzi and a pool.
I just want the guest house.
We have no clue where it's at.
Not a clue.
Yeah, 3,000 square foot guest house. Memorabilia everywhere. Jerseys of Reed all over the walls. Hey, check it out. Laola TV 1. See Reed's match. 15,000 strong. Get a feel for what volleyball can really do. The international stage. It's a big game worldwide. And we'll keep pumping it here. The Net Live on TheVolleyballNetwork.com. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you again Saturday, then Monday for the regular show. We're out. Yeah.